Music games are at a pivot as Rock Band was made compatible in Generation 8, but as of yet, there's been no big news for Generation 9. Meanwhile, Konami continues to bring the Bomani Suite to PC, with 5 game releases now available in Japan. Music licensing makes releases in the West difficult, but a quick shout-out to Taiko no Tatsujin, Groove Coaster, Project Diva, and Kingdom Hearts Melody of Memory all on the Switch. This is the 30-second music game update. It's time for your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki, with more of this and the rest of the week's gaming news, starting right now in the show where every gamer has a voice.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week in the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio Live once again tonight for episode number 848, December the 20th of 2020. My name is Rob Roberts, and joining me here live every week, I think we may have Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers, who is having tech difficulties for the show. Is she there? Okay, she's still not with us, but hopefully will be joining us at some point throughout the show. She was having some problems with her computer beforehand, so I think she was trying to reboot or connect from another device or something like that. So hopefully we'll be hearing from her shortly. But I know joining us tonight, because I can see him on cam, is Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hi, Loki. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good. And I see that you're wearing your new OLR shirt that's available at the VOG Network shop. Plug, plug.
Yes, I am.
Yeah. How is it?
It's comfortable.
Yeah. It's wonderful. It's premium quality. I love it. No, it's fine. You could, if it's not the greatest, you can say it. Like, I'm going to be honest. I did not care for the mask with the logo in the corner, because what happens is that the folding of the mask kind of makes the logo disappear. So, yeah, but you can still get it if you want. Otherwise, it's a quality mask. We have a different mask that's got like VOG super big on it, so that works too. But all that available. But the shirts are great. I actually, Loki's got the OLR shirt. I have the VOG Network shirts, and they turned out really good. So quality products over at the shop. VOGNetwork.com/shop if you want to check that out. Ooh, hi. Hi, Dark Sakura. We hear you. Do you hear us? Okay, she doesn't... This is going to be very awkward. This is going to be like the most awkward Zoom holiday thing tonight. Anyway.
Testing.
Hi. We hear you, Dark Sakura. Yeah. Loud and clear. Can you hear us? Okay.
So yeah, I think that is a no.
She doesn't even know she's coming through on the show.
She's just trying to stress the importance of COVID testing. And, you know, we should all be vigilant. Especially considering the situation.
I'm texting her right now that we heard you. You just can't hear us. That's right. You're right. She's just stressing the importance of making sure that you get tested. See, testing is so important. COVID testing. exactly. And her cam's coming on. So hopefully at some point she'll be able to see and hear us. All right. Anyway. Loki, what's the game playing behind you tonight? I'm trying to figure it out. It looks like a 3D King's Quest sort of thing. What is that playing behind you tonight?
It's Visceral Cleanup Detail, Santa's Rampage.
I have not heard of that.
Do you remember Visceral Cleanup Detail? It's basically, it was, you're coming in after like a shmup, like a FPS like shooter. And you're cleaning up all the bodies and blood and bullets and stuff that are left behind. So that's the premise of the game.
Interesting.
So in this case, you are cleaning up after Santa's Rampage through his workshop.
Where is this, an itch.io game? This sounds kind of funny. I like that.
I think it is on itch.io, but it's definitely on Steam. It's been in a few Humble Bundles.
Okay.
So that's where I got it from.
Love it. I'm also, what was cracking me up too is that when Dark Sakura's cam came on, the room was completely empty. Like, it's like, what the hell's going on? We were getting ghost Jamie for a minute there. That's what they're saying in chat. Over at our chat, can Jamie hear us now? I don't know if she can. Okay, so it's still... Gotta love it. All right. I will give our chat room a plug over at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork because we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. Again, twitch.tv/VOGNetwork, 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern. Some comments coming in. Questbuster says the shirt does look comfy, and if we were in Cyberpunk, that shirt just added 180 points of armor. Yes. No One Special 77 is talking about, I have the Steam version
and of that game, the visceral cleaning, is that what it's called?
Yeah, visceral cleanup detail, I think, or okay. duty. I've played it before. I didn't really know what to do in it, but having watched this video, I kind of have an idea of what you're supposed to do. It was hard. It's a very tedious game because you have to mop stuff and you have to, you know, move stuff around, but it's silly. A lot of people mm-hmm. speed run it. So,
okay. All right. Fun. Is it part of, cause I know Bobby was just doing a cheap plug for Awesome Games Done Quick is coming up in just 2 weeks. Where did the time go? I didn't realize it was only 2 weeks away, but it's just, I guess it's one of those things. 2020. Is this one of the games they're going to be doing?
They've done it in the past. I don't know if they're doing it this time, but because I originally had actually picked Christmas Nights, but I thought that was kind of obvious, and I think I've done that. We've done that in the past, but like I wanted to mix it up a bit, so that's why I was like, oh yeah, there's that game, and I had to remember what the name was. let me see if they have that in there. I don't know if it's probably being done this year, but I know they have done in the past because I've watched it. And some of the crazy stuff they do with that.
Nice. I think we may have had a breakthrough on the Dark Soccer Tech situation. Are you with us now, Jamie?
I am. Can you hear me?
You did it. Yes, we hear you. All is well. Hello. Yeah, good.
My headset kind of took a dive, and then my computer was having some problems booting up. So I finally just said, fuck it, and set up my menu mic.
It looks nice. You got your whole little, like, pop guard and a little professional mic over there. It looks nice.
Yeah, it's one of those Audio Technica ones.
Yeah.
And rather than, like, you know, 200 and something bucks, I actually had a really good deal and got it for 110, so
nice. Well, the chat is saying you're a little quieter than usual, so you might just have to work with the positioning and things like that. Maybe
I think you have – it could be mixer settings on – perhaps on your side, because I haven't found a way to increase the sensitivity over on my side.
No, because you guys are filtered through Discord, so it's okay. If I change anything, it's you and Loki. So
my mic setup is for 100%. So
interesting.
I'll see if I've got something else that I can adjust.
Actually, you know what? I can always bump you up in Discord, but when you got close to the mic there, I think you were good. Don't you love live tech support? All right.
Well, that and my pop filter will not stay where the hell I put it. There you go.
That's fine.
Is this any better?
I think it is to me. Chat, if she's too quiet, let me know, because I can always boost or deafen. I can use Discord as a mixer too if I need to.
Yeah, and I think I have the AT2020. One of my friends recommended it to me, and so that's what I'm using, and I really like their audio output, mm-hmm. and so I decided to go for it. So
You sound really good to me.
It doesn't sound any different
now
than my old mic.
You sound a lot better. It's a lot clearer, and I can hear it fine in my headset for what it's worth, so I think you're good. So
cool.
Tech issues aside, before we get into the big gaming story this week, because, of course, we are a video game podcast, and there's a lot of gaming news about one particular game, and I know it's a game that's not really on your radar, Dark Soccer, and it's not really on mine.
Why the fuck would I pay put something broken?
This is going to be a Loki segment coming
because
up.
Skyrim's a great game.
True. Let me just ask quickly. I know Hanukkah just finished up. Happy belated Hanukkah, I suppose, at this point. I will miss our annual Christmas gathering, because you and I historically have always gone out for like Chinese food or pho or whatever we can find that's open on Christmas, and we don't get to do that this year because of the situation. So I'll miss that this year.
Actually, I had a negative test.
Oh, congrats!
If y'all had negative tests, we can get some damn takeout.
Maybe. All right. Well, we'll see. Maybe we can always eat outdoors or something if it's not too cold. Do something like that.
Okay.
Be fun.
It's cold.
All right. It is a little cold. All right. Let's get into video game stuff, though. Huge, big news this week. This is kind of shocking, honestly. And I think y'all know where this is going to go with Cyberpunk. Let's let Loki kick this off and state the obvious that is in the back of all your minds with this.
So Cyberpunk's a little bit rough. So especially on the earlier gen consoles, so like a PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, hasn't been running the best. And that was something
You're very nice.
It looks like Saints Row. in fact, it's getting a lot of that Saints Row vibe from it. But yeah, so it hasn't been running good at all. And so they've actually come out, CG Projekt Red has come out and actually apologized with their wonderful yellow text or yellow background text, where they've said, you know, first off, we would like to start by apologizing to you for not showing the game base or on the base last gen consoles before it premiered. And in consequence, we're not allowing you to make more informed decision about your purchase. We should have paid more attention to making it play better on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Right, but you knew, and you also were advertising it in such a way, and you were also preventing people from being able to review it and showcasing that stuff as well. So, yeah, it's a little hard to
all right. Let's
feel
let's...
like that's a genuine apology, but whatever.
I'm going to interject because we got a lot to unpack just in that 2 minutes. Okay, we got a lot to unpack. So let's get our emotional baggage out here for a minute. Here's the thing, and I think this is important to state. For a lot of people, the game isn't broken. And I think that's important to put. Well, it may be kind of broken, but in a Bethesda game way, or as you said, like a Saints Row. Like there are character, and Bobby showed examples of some of this on his show earlier because he used his clipping feature to show some of this stuff. For instance, characters that just walk right through lockers like they're not even there. Characters that run over street poles because, you know, fuck street poles and things like that. Like there's a lot of that stuff that's buggy, but otherwise the game is fine. If you are on a high-end PC, you're playing on Google Stadia, you're playing on Xbox Series X, you're playing on PlayStation 5. Where we're running into some real tragedies are some people that are playing on PlayStation 4 and that are playing on Xbox One. Now, I do think it is important to make that distinction because I think there are a lot of people out there that are like, what's the problem? Well, the problem is that the game is not running the way people expected it to run for a game that was advertised for the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One. Here's where the problem gets really fucking complicated. So, Loki, that part you said there, they put out a yellow statement and all this thing and said, we should have realized that the game wasn't running up to speed or whatever it was on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Mm-hmm. Did I state that correctly? Is kind of what their line was?
Yeah.
You fucking knew. Like, see, and not only did they fucking know, they suppressed. And how did they suppress? When they sent out all these review copies, they told people you have to play it on a high-end PC. They didn't give out any review codes for PlayStation or Microsoft. And they put out an NDA that said you cannot show footage from this game. You must use our approved footage. And that should have been the first sign that something was up. Now, I think most of us kind of went, oh, it's because of this whole day zero patch they're doing. There's something really bad in the pre-patch stuff that they don't want out there. So they want to make sure that what's being shown is a patched version. I think that's what most of us wrote off that NDA as. But now we're seeing there was something way more sinister going on here. And what CD Projekt Red was really trying to avoid was the reception that Mass Effect Andromeda got. And I know I'm invoking the holy series of Mass Effect here, but I'm doing it for a reason. Why did that game get shit on? And I mean shit on, just days before it released. Because EA stupidly put that buggy game out on that advance thing through EA, and all these people were ripping their own footage of heads spinning round, bodies flopping on the floor, and all these things that made Andromeda look like a buggy ass mess. So everybody was like, I'm not buying that fucking game. Dark Sakura, I will ask your opinion here because you follow the holy book of Mass Effect like I do. Isn't that kind of how Mass Effect Andromeda got screwed? You're muted, just so you know, and it's a hard mute on Discord.
Kind of, sort of, because I don't think Mass Effect Andromeda had nearly the problems that Cyberpunk does.
I agree. I definitely agree with that statement. But
go ahead. Actually, a pretty oh, there's Midna. It was actually a pretty finished game. It was lacking, like, mm-hmm. a few touches, like the whole Dead Eyes thing and some of the dialogue choices. But for mm-hmm. the most part, it wasn't super buggy.
But you know, the internet fixated on those bugs, right? And so the games...
Well, there weren't many.
Right.
But Cyberpunk has plenty, even on
right.
the high end.
Right. And that's so. What CD Projekt Red was trying to hide. And that's my point, is that those few bugs, when they got out, really tanked Mass Effect Andromeda's performance. I really can't be convinced that didn't impact the bottom line of Andromeda and how it sold because of how people responded to that whole thing.
I think there were other factors in there, just simply the fact that BioWare was putting more into Anthem at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't continuing with everybody's favorite, you know, characters or mm-hmm. their storylines, unlike what Dragon Age 4 is doing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I think that might have been more part of it than just the aesthetics of it or, you know, it was all like too much too new. And then on top of it, adding in just those minor things.
Right. So on that, we agree.
Andromeda had something different going for it.
Right. And I think we definitely have some common ground here because, yeah, no, I agree with you that Cyberpunk, and again, I haven't played it, so that's why I feel a little bit hesitant to say something definitively here, but everything that I'm seeing online, all the reaction stuff, is that it is a buggier game, and I do think, so I agree with you on that too, and I think the reason why I invoked Mass Effect Andromeda and the reception that it got with those bugs is that that was the situation CD Projekt Red was trying to avoid by saying, you can't take your own video, you have to show this pre-approved video, you're not going to play it on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One because we know, somebody knows, this game doesn't run nearly as well on those platforms. So we are going to try to continue this hype for this game going and not shoot it in the foot like I think has been done in the past with other products when they released, you know, early for everybody to look at and then the warts and all kind of show up. And mm-hmm. I think it caused this situation now to get worse. Because yeah. they tried to suppress that message, and it's the truth, it always comes out, girl. It always comes out.
That should have been the first clue. I mean, the whole point of a review is honesty, I think.
Right.
It is, I mean, to the developers, it's the, okay, we want to sell our game and we want it to look a certain way, but the true heart of what a review is.
Mm-hmm.
is to say, this is what product you are buying.
Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
There's a difference between a review and a sponsorship. And yep. they were looking for a sponsorship.
Yes. And it's interesting because there was a piece I was reading out there that was being critical of organizations that ran the review with the NDA, calling them corporate sellouts and things like this, that I don't agree with that strong of a message. I kind of think most of these review outlets gave you the tools you needed to figure it out for yourself. They were transparent in saying there was an NDA and that there was, you know, they couldn't show actual footage from the game. We assumed, and I'll say we as part of that too, because I remember saying it on this show, that, oh, it's because of the Day Zero patch and they don't want to show like how bad it is. Little did we know it's much worse. I don't think the problem for that is with the journalists at all. That problem, and so I think people who are writing pieces like that, in my opinion, and you're not going to like this, but in my opinion, you got yourself to blame for setting up that kind of industry that requires day zero reviews that, you know, feeds on Metacritic scores and my game is better than your game. And I think that's on you, person that writes that piece about how all of that is bad, for creating that type of gaming industry that CD Projekt Red was just playing into. I'm not letting CD Projekt Red off the hook, because I think ultimately at the end of the day, the only satisfactory end to this, the only satisfactory end to this, is that the CEOs of CD Projekt Red are finished. They retire. They knew this was going on. They let the hype keep going. They put all these constraints on it as it was. They've got to go. Period.
Not gonna, though. I mean, think about it.
I don't, Darkstalker, I totally get the pessimistic perspective. I think the investors in Poland, because they are a publicly traded company in Poland, I think the investors are so pissed off. And at the end of the day, video games are making money. I think the investors are so pissed off about this whole situation that it is now, I think it's on the table. And good. It should be on the table, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And this is this. Sorry, Loki. I will let you finish. I know there's more to say. I was going to say, this is not the fault of the developers. This is not the fault of the artist. This is not the fault of the people that were working their asses off on crunch time to try to deliver this game that was promised. This was a fuck up of epic proportions by management. Period.
And to kind of go along with that, also, there is a story out of Bloomberg that is actually talking about the developers asking the leadership, you know, what was going on, you know, basically saying that developers asked blunt questions about the company's reputation, the game's unrealistic deadlines, and the relentless overtime in the months and years leading up to the game's December 10th release. So, you know, I don't know. It almost feels like I get that. I think releasing on so many platforms all at once was kind of a problem. And I know other console games have done similar things where they've postponed certain versions of it. Like, say, for example, you know, PC, pretty solid right now. Maybe release on PC and delay the console a month would have been smart.
Here's what would have been smart. Sorry, Loki. Here's what would have been smart. CD Projekt Red should have went to Google. The minute they knew this was going on, they should have went to Google instead. What if we made you an offer to be exclusive on Stadia and PC for 6 months? What if we made you that offer and then get the money from Google to go exclusive on Stadia? Because the game's fine on Stadia outside of the bugs, and which is a whole other episode of OLR about here we are now that like Stadia's got its best use case scenario by a complete
use case
by a complete fuck up of another organization, right?
It's the only use case.
Go ahead, Jamie. You've been trying to get away.
I was gonna make a point just a little bit before, but and actually ActDeft had also said it in chat, is that this is a big reason why there needs to be unionization for our developers and for people who work in the gaming industry.
Yes, 100% agree. This unions would have helped here, I think, quite a bit, especially when it came to the crunch time and things of that sort. Absolutely. So just be mindful, Jamie, if you're talking sideways on the mic, it doesn't pick up quite as much as when you're talking direct. Sorry.
Yeah, this thing is weird.
The chat.
I'm
you can probably
used to it.
You can also probably just drop the pop guard if it's getting in the way. Oh, there you go.
No, there we go. Because I don't want to, you know, spew on everybody. So
yeah. All right. So anyway, Jamie's just got to get used to it, you guys in chat. She's got a whole new set. She's not using a headset anymore. She's using an adult microphone, just like the ones we had here in studio. Oh my gosh. Okay, Loki. I'm sorry. We keep cutting you off, but this is a very passionate topic, isn't it?
Sure. So aside from the obvious problems with leadership. Some more stuff talking about like crunch, you know, they were being forced to work 6 hour day, or I'm sorry, 6 days a week. And even more so after the game's, final delay, they were having even more crunch involved with that as well. And then of course we get word, about them offering to refund the game if you're unhappy with your purchase. So they set up a email address that is open until, tomorrow. They're shutting it off. And also, apparently, with that, because there were so many refunds being issued on, the PlayStation Store, Sony straight up pulled the game from the PlayStation Store. You can't buy it digitally anymore for right now until they sort this stuff out. So they went ahead and pulled it out. They said, SIE strives to ensure a high level of customer satisfaction. Therefore, we will begin to offer full refunds for all the gamers who have purchased Cyberpunk 2077 via the PlayStation Store. And we will also be removing Cyberpunk 2077 from the PlayStation Store until further notice. It says, once we have confirmed you have purchased Cyberpunk 2077 via PlayStation Store, we will begin processing your refund. And then, of course, along with that, later on, Xbox also followed suit. They took it down off their storefront. Best Buy has said basically they're going to offer refunds on the physical copies via their in-store or by mail. through December 21st, which apparently is when there's some sort of patch coming out. That's why it all seems to end on December 21st. And then what else? So we also had Siege of Project Red saying that they are going to be offering some sort of refunds as well for players who are unable to secure one through the store which they purchased it. So that'll be limited as well. Also, apparently, the execs came out and apologized again as well, saying that they had ignored signals that the console versions that they hyped were in rough shape. The game launched way below expectations, and they ignored the signals that more time was needed to make sure that the games were ready. It was the wrong approach and against our business philosophy. On top of that, during the campaign, we showed the game mostly on PC. We definitely did not spend enough time looking at PlayStation 4 and Xbox One performance. And this is coming from the Vice President, Michael Nowakowski. And the reason we didn't show the game on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One is that we were updating the game on last-gen consoles until the very last minute, and we thought we'd make it in time. Unfortunately, this resulted in giving it to reviewers just one day before the release, which is definitely too late, and the media didn't get the chance to review it properly. Are they really blaming the reviewers for the low scores on the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One? Because that's what sort of sounds like. They said that was not intended. We were just fixing the game up until the very last moment.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Let me get some comments from chat here. Number one, and most importantly, the chat room is going bananas for Midna, which I think might be our first Dark Soccer's cat, Midna, showing up on stream during the show. But there's Midna in mommy's arms there, getting some cuddles. Some other comments in chat talking about even though Cyberpunk is no longer being sold on Sony store, it is continuing to be sold on the Microsoft store. And I've actually seen that myself because in the rewards app, actually, you get a thing for visiting the Cyberpunk page. And there's a big old thing on there that says, note, may not currently run best on Xbox One. Like, there's a big old like disclaimer on there. Okay. Hard to miss.
I guess they're just doing refunds, but I thought they were taking them. Some funny thing that I did see online was folks complaining about the fact that if they did a refund, that they still couldn't play the game. It's like, what do you think a refund is? You don't get the game for
yes,
free.
That is what a refund is. You no longer have access to the product. Stop trying to game the system. That's not
people
what it's
are
for.
Weird.
Yeah.
Hey.
So Bobby Black Wolf in chat saying you can still buy the PlayStation 4 disc version. They thought it was a refund, but not a return. So yeah, like don't game the system, guys. If you're playing the game and enjoying the game, the refund's not for you. So knock it off. Obviously there's some people. The part about that that gets me is that email that they're shutting off tomorrow. How convenient when copies of this game are going to be showing up under the tree for many people in 4 or 5 days. So that's kind of shady. Another bad decision among bad decisions, but it is what it
and
is.
And honestly, like I get people are unhappy with it, but like I think it will get better. I'm hoping that it's not a live service game, so it's got that going for it. I think it will get better. I'm hoping it will end up like a No Man's Sky where eventually it gets patched. Yeah. It really should not have been released this way. And it's frustrating to hear like almost every single major game release out there now. We run into the same thing at launch. Some cases much worse than others, but it's always like patching after the fact, releasing buggy games. It's like, do we not finish a game before releasing it? It doesn't make any sense.
Maybe the shock and awe of this situation, and if the CEOs do get ousted by the board, which again, I hope it happens. I really do. I got my popcorn ready to go. What I don't want to happen is I don't want the studio to go under. I do not want job loss at that studio. I do not want the developers to suffer the consequences and the artists and that is what I do not want to happen. The cuts need to be made at the top. That is what has to happen in this situation. And I hope that other companies see this situation and go, uh-oh, you know, maybe you're right. Learn something from this and make sure this doesn't happen to future releases. Now, I will say this, Loki, when we talk about the game being in a better state and everything, again, for me, when I do decide to get the game, when that, you know, Game of the Year edition with all the DLC and all that included, when I finally do buy it, Xbox Series X and PlayStation 5 will be the full-on current generation by that point, because we'll be in, you know, 2 years in. And the game runs the game runs fine on those.
Well,
so
here, consider this too, though. Like the one version that you're playing right now on the Xbox Series X or whatever is just the Xbox One version that has some additional Xbox Series X enhancements. It's not the actual Xbox Series X or PlayStation 5 versions. Those are supposed to be coming out in March. So the game will be even better by March.
Yeah.
It's just that I think they were still trying to tune those for that additional like compatibility with those new systems, but they forgot. It's like, oh yeah, you know, you also have the base Xbox One, you know, or the Xbox One S, you know, the old stuff that might not run it as well. And we kind of saw this, you know, even way before, you know, the days of patching stuff, like we saw some games that would be released between these consoles, you know, back on like PlayStation 2 and PlayStation 3 and then Xbox 360 and like Xbox and all these different consoles, like releasing in 9 different consoles, you know, and obviously some versions of the game would be good and some versions of the game would be very rough.
Right. Well, I remember a day when like Mortal Kombat came out on the Game Boy. And if you bought the Game Boy version of Mortal Kombat, you knew you were not going to get the same game that the people on the Super Nintendo.
But,
like you knew.
Yeah.
But they also didn't try to hide that. They didn't try to hide it either. You would see Game Boy screenshots in magazines and go, oof, that's a scaled back version of that game, right? They didn't try to hide it. That's a huge, huge difference. I want to point out something in chat as well. Zen Monkey in chat says, it's the full game, right? Nothing is missing. It's just buggy. So it's not a No Man's Sky, in my opinion. I agree with that. A lot of comparisons to No Man's Sky. I think these are hugely different scenarios. Now, I'm not just saying that because, yes, I'm a fanboy of No Man's Sky now. But I remember when that game came out. The problem with that game was not that it was a buggy, unplayable mess or that, you know, what have. The problem in that game was that the hype machine got out of control, and it's what I'm calling the Molyneux effect, okay? It's the Peter Molyneux effect, meaning I hyped the shit out of something I couldn't really deliver on. It didn't necessarily make the game bad, Fable, but the game was not exactly what we had promised. In fact, in many ways, it wasn't what we promised. But I remember when that game came out, I remember, go back to the episode when that game came out, and I reviewed it, and I said, it's not that bad. It's a little bit dry, but I think I enjoy this game more than most because I always questioned those speeches that they were giving when they were showing off the game. And I always was the one going, where's the game? What's the game? And I refused to buy into the hype with that game. Therefore, when the game came out, I was like, it's okay. And now we're in a spot years and years later where the game is better than okay. In fact, I would say it's a must play if you haven't played it yet, especially when it comes to Series X and PlayStation 5, assuming they ever fix that HDR thing. But Series X, for sure, it's a must play at this point. I think it's a very different sort of thing. But I mean, I'm not saying it wasn't a problem at all. No, it was a problem. It was a different problem. And I'm not even sure this CD Projekt Red, pardon me, Cyberpunk thing is as big of an issue as one other game I can think of. Actually, can I mention real quick? I know we want to get to other stories tonight. We don't want the show to run too long. I ran an informal poll on my Twitter account about this whole thing. So, did you see my poll? Did you guys vote in my poll? Okay.
I did not see your poll.
Okay, here's the question I asked. Is Cyberpunk, and Tiger Claw will find the link and post the poll, because he usually does. So I'm not putting him on the spot or anything. Okay, here's the tweet I wrote. It said, is Cyberpunk 2077 the biggest failure of an organization's management and executives in video game history? And believe it or not, 107 people voted in my poll. So this is very scientific, you guys. 53%.
But your question was quite loaded.
Maybe. Well, here's the answers. 53% said yes. 47% said stop being dramatic. So there's people that do think it's pretty. Now, looking back, and when I wrote that question, obviously it was very tongue-in-cheek. It was a tweet, you guys. It wasn't a scientific poll. I actually think Final Fantasy XIV 1.0 was a bigger fuck-up. That was so bad. So bad that it almost killed an entire franchise dating back to like 1987. But there are things about this cyberpunk scenario that make it quite unique. And the good news is in Final Fantasy XIV, they were able to fix it years after the fact. But the Final Fantasy XIV now is like not even the same game it was when it came out. That's how they fixed it. They just released a new game called Final Fantasy XIV that had some of the same ideas. So Loki, now that you know the question, is this the biggest management fuck up? And specifically management, is this the biggest management fuck up of all time? Yes, or stop being dramatic?
Stop being dramatic. This isn't that. It could be worse. I mean, hell, like, was it last year with WWE, their 2K game? I mean, yeah. That's pretty bad. On top of that, you know, they also want to charge for microtransactions. I mean, geez, it's like every few months we have one of these. So I don't think it's the worst. Anthem? I mean, Fallout 76, anyone? I mean, there's so many to choose from.
And yeah, looking back on it, I'm not sure it would be the biggest ever, but I think it's going to be one of the most memorable.
I think that's, Fallout 76 tops it. I mean, like, that is just
how ironic. Look at my shirt I'm wearing. Do you see the shirt I'm wearing today?
one mistake after another. I mean, just over and over and over again. And it's just like they can't do anything right. Anything. Like, it was just all sorts of messed up. I don't know what the state is now. I'm assuming since I haven't heard about it in a while, it's slightly better, but like, it was just all over the place.
Okay. So of course, some comments in chat coming in on this. No One Special says, the virtual boy says hi. Let's see. SG100 Matt says, this is an ET on the Atari that folks are treating this like. That is a great. You know what? I'm going to give a gold star chat comment of the week to that comment. I didn't even think of that. But that is also a brilliant example of how management fucked a game. Because I know that Howard Scott Warshaw, who authored that game, worked his fucking ass off to deliver it in 6 weeks. Because that's what management made him do. Because that was the deal that was reached with, you know, Steven Spielberg and all that to get the game out for Christmas and all of that stuff. So I think you gave a real damn good example of something that's almost a bigger management fuck up. Because, and then that game caused the video game crash of 1983. Okay, maybe not directly, but things like that decision definitely caused the entire industry to kablammo.
So let me offer something. This is going back to a previous point. So,
last comment on this, and then we'll move on. Darksaga.
Well, it's kind of a bigger commentary, but I want to offer up this thought. So we talked about, you know, if the industry had been unionized recently or that they should unionize. What if the industry had unionized prior to the 83 crash?
Ooh.
Would we be in a situation like this? Would we have to deal? I mean, I still think we would have things like these, you know, god-awful microtransactions, or would still have to see, you know, rushed releases. But the thing is, it's actually, we may not see the rushed releases because employees would be set for a certain number of hours, a certain number of privileges for the work that they put into the game. And the managers, the ones who were, well, basically fucking shit up, they would be the ones who then go and they'd have to maintain those standards. So they would be held liable to it as well. And we might actually get more realistic development cycles. The other thing that I'm thinking of in this one too is that now this is, you know, I've been putting a lot of thought to this, and what you bringing up the crash really made me want to focus on it more. The other thing too is that just going into the social standpoints of working in the video game industry, we may not have some of the disparities that we have right now too.
I'm going to give a very blunt response to the question that you may think I'm joking, but I'm not.
Girl, try me.
Okay, no, I'm going to give you my very honest answer, and this is going to be something where you're like, I am not happy Rob said that, but it's the truth. If video game unions in 1983 meant that cocaine would be forbidden in the workplace, the industry would not be in the position it's at now.
No, I understand that, trust me.
Like that, that's having real talk. Like if that meant there was no cocaine,
folks, I'm just saying.
How do you think those games got turned around in 6 weeks? Like, no. And look, why do you think? Okay, here we go. Hello, Pandora's box. We're gonna open you. We're gonna unpack some stuff. Hello.
Maybe in the U.S., Rob.
Why do you think the video game industry then felt such an onus to put these things on their games about FBI warning winners don't use drugs and all this stuff in the 90s? Because the video game industry was born from drugs in the 80s. Like, so much of it was. Like, and again, I'm sorry. It's not the answer anyone wants to hear, but it's just the reality. So, like, I'm not trying to discredit your point, Dark Soccer. I just think, like, games were developed in such a different way in the 1980s versus the way they're done today. I'm actually I almost feel like the effect a union would have in the 80s would just have completely transformed everything. Like, we wouldn't have E.T. We wouldn't have Yar's Revenge. We wouldn't have any of it because we didn't have drugs.
I mean, that's one thing, but I also do sort of think that, and I'd actually have to dig more into that because now I'm curious as to the whole winners don't use drugs, you know, crack.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thinking that maybe there might have been just some sort of subsidy or some sort of requirement for publishment. I have to look at what the jurisdiction was when all that was going down, because we don't see it anymore in our very few modern arcade releases that we happen to get. But it's sort of my thought that might have been some sort of almost subsidized thing, like our current YouTube ads and crazy things like that. Make sense?
Yeah, no, for sure.
It was government subsidy to put a little bit more money into the entertainment industry. I don't know. Mm-hmm. That's a theory. A game theory.
Hey, now, they didn't pay for that ad.
I know. I was joking. That's called parody.
I know.
Can parody. But anyway, you see what my point was.
I do. Yeah. I do. No, that, and that's why. But my brain instantly went to, well, you'd have you wouldn't have this.
I'd imagine they passed some eight balls around, you know. I'm just saying. You know, had a little line here and there. No, I've talked to some of those game developers. I know things, Rob.
Yeah, I know. So it's just, and again,
sinuses.
And the reason why I'm hesitant is, as I don't want to sound like I'm glamorizing it or endorsing it or any of that stuff. I'm really not. But I also realize it is a very harsh reality about how we got from point A to point Z. So, mm-hmm. Anyway.
Yeah. No. All right. No. It just makes me, it's sort of those what ifs.
No, I know. I get it. Yeah. All right. Anyway. Let's move on. Let's talk about our gaming weeks, whether it was, affected by substances or not. No, I'm kidding. All right. How was your gaming week?
I sure was. I went on a bender this weekend. Oh, kidding.
Dark Saga, how was your gaming week?
I played something other than Animal Crossing, Rob.
What?
Well, I did play Animal Crossing. I mean, go fig. It's like the sufficient, you know, amount of my gaming time. But I played around on the Switch Online store just trying to, you know, I was looking around to see what some of the SNES games were, and I found one of my favorite little shooters on there, which was Poppin' Twinbee. And I set it for Wimp mode and just had a good time playing a couple of stages, you know. I was like, oh, I remember this. And then I remembered I sprained my thumb. And so tapping repeatedly on that button to fire my weapons, you know, and I was like trying to remember what color the bells did what and realized that, you know, I don't like the purple weapon as much as the green weapon. But I had a good time playing. It was a sort of memories. You know, this was back from when I would have my SNES emulator and would, you know, download these ROMs, because hello, who didn't? And played, you know, these, you know, Japanese SNES games that never, well, Super Famicom games that never got a release in the U.S., So there's a few others on there. There's Panel de Pont, which I might go back and play. There's Mario Picross, which I'm not a Picross fan. But you know, there's a few other things on there that I was checking out, and I might actually consider finishing my run through of Mother, but I found my GBA somewhere. I don't know where it is now again. It vanishes. It unearths itself like, you know, internet trolls. But I'm considering playing my translated cart of Mother 3 because there's been like some discussion on it for this. I don't know if we're going to have this in there. I didn't see it in the show roll. I might have overlooked it. But there was a whole thing about how Nintendo doesn't want to do games that evoke sadness.
You can get into it. That whole thing started like 2 minutes after I sent out the show roll for tonight. So it's breaking news, if you will.
Well, and one of my people I follow on there was saying, oh, now Mother 3 will never come out on the Switch for any of the re-releases or anything like that. And I was like, you know, maybe you're taking that out of context, but it did seem very, it's like the toxic positivity thing. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, if you deny the bad that happens in your life, you can't appreciate the good as much, or you're compartmentalizing it, you're not dealing with it. And I think Nintendo, given the fact that the games that they've had that have evoked those emotions do it so well and relatively safely, I think that was a poor choice of something to say. Does that make sense?
Yep. Toxic positivity is what I call James Corden.
Who?
It's fine.
Okay.
All right.
If that's a TV thing, I don't get it because I only watch Supernatural and it's gone.
Kind of. It's all right. Anything else for your game of week?
Words. No.
All right. Loki, how was your game of week?
It was okay. So I started off working on my game. I've been trying to research how to do animated tiles and haven't had a lot of luck. I did manage to create a really irritating flashing screen that animated tiles, but it's not the right way to do it. And so it's been a lot of research this week. Not a whole lot being made in the game, just more just figuring out how to do stuff. But I realize I'm getting to the point where, you know, I don't know if I'm going to figure it out. There is a way to do it. I just don't know how code-wise. So I'll have to research some more, but I am probably going to work some more on the actual game and other parts. And then I've been playing some more Minecraft with my kids. So we've been playing on our realm. I've been trying to fix with some of the last updates I've done. It's broken some of my plugins a little bit. So I was trying to reload some stuff and update things, but man, like realms on Minecraft are just janky as hell. So they really don't respond well to updating plugins that are in there or add-ons into the game. So you have to, I don't know, like I've tried so many times just to like add one more plugin on there, and I've removed like several of them, but it just, sometimes it'll just time out or refuse to load or whatever the case may be. So it's just been a struggle, but still built a castle and helped my son with some redstone stuff. So we've been just doing that, just messing around.
Nice.
And a little bit of Orna.
How's Pixel Poops coming along?
Well, that's what I was saying. You know, with Pixel Poops, I've been just researching how to do animated tiles in the Nest because it's a lot harder than everything's hard with the NES, but so I was trying to find a way to just up, you know, reload tile sets and stuff so it'd swap it out, but it takes too long to do that. And so that's where I was getting that weird flickering effect. I think I posted that to Twitter just to show like the animated tiles. Maybe I just mentioned it, but so now there's another method that you can do that, which is updating the name table. But in order to do that, I have to read from the name table. And that's also tricky as well, because it's in the picture processing unit when you're doing that. It's so complicated. But I may just give up on the animated tiles and just move on with creating more assets for the game. So I'll probably end up doing that. And there's a few other things I want to implement, but I really would like animated titles. It would really look nice, but
leave it and come back to it later. You know, maybe you'll have a breakthrough somewhere else that leads to a,
that's what I've been doing. I've just been just trying to understand how things work in the NES and how it loads stuff and everything. So, but yeah, I'll come back to it probably.
Okay. My gaming week. So, nothing really new. Been continuing on with a lot of things I've been talking about here on the show. Continuing on with Dragon Quest XI. I'm even further into that game, probably like 25 hours in at this point. Making progress on that. And then I was playing quite a bit of Pokemon Go / Ingress / Orna, like all the GPS games. I was doing a lot of that yesterday, just because, you know, it's Saturday. I didn't have much to do. So I was like, well, let me go walking. I'm going to go on some hikes, some adventure. I'm going to go get some hard to get portals that take, you know, like one of them I had to do with like a mile and a half walk in, a mile and a half walk back, you know, but that's the type of stuff where I needed the motivation. And then, of course, since I was doing Pokemon Go with that, I was like, I don't think I should do this Mr. Rhyme event because they want $8 so you can catch a particular Pokemon. But I did it because I'm a sucker. And
you're a consumer whore,
right? Mr. Consumer Whore. But I was like, you know what? I'm so bored. And this is like a little incentive to go outside and do some stuff and walk around. And I do like Mr. Rhyme. He's really funny. So I was like, whatever. Even though I'm sure he will be obtainable in the game in like 3 months, because that's what they did with Genesect and some of the other releases that they did in a similar way. But I also don't know, because Mr. Mime, the base one from Gen 1, has been a region exclusive to the UK, and we haven't been able to get that here. Until they did an event here at one point where you were able to get that in Kangaskhan. Like, you were able to get all the exclusives pretty easy during that event. Yeah, you probably played during that event, or maybe you traded, whatever. I don't know if they're going to maybe do the Galarian one differently when they release it or what. So, so I was like, whatever. I didn't feel great about endorsing Niantic doing that, but I was really bored, so forgive me. Otherwise,
how many things do you get away with just because you're bored?
Murder? Why'd you kill him? I was bored. All right. But on a serious note, so kind of speaking of Pokemon, I think I talked about this on a previous episode, but like I kind of played even more of it this week. I've been playing a lot of Pokemon Shield. My save file is up to almost 60 hours at this point, and that's because of Pokemon Home and kind of unveiling that central dex kind of motivated me to. And this, here's the shocking thing about this whole like Rob is suddenly super into the Pokemon mainline games. This isn't a Shane thing. And this might shock you. Like, wait. He didn't bully you into this somehow? No. Like, actually, I don't think he really believes that it's happening in some ways. But my dex in Shield is up to, like, 310 at this point. I have a spreadsheet tracking everything I need to get and how I get it and the ones I need to level up and the ones I need to trade with somebody. I've been using Pokemon Home to do some of the trades, like Lunatone is in Shield, but Solrock is in Sword. So I traded that in Home, and you even get stickers for doing some of that stuff for your profile. And so it's, I don't know what finally set me off on the mainline Pokemon games. But I guess Home and Quarantine and Pokemon Go kind of affecting the mainline games in that regard kind of all just suddenly gave me this incentive where I'm like, I am going to catch them all. Yes, I am. Just like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to catch them all this time. So that's what I've been working on. No DLC until I catch them all. That is my rule. So maybe in a couple weeks on the show, once I've caught them all, I will get into the DLC and all that stuff. So, all right. But that's, yeah, so I've been spending a lot of time on Pokemon. Weird, right? All right. Let's see. I see a Tiberi in chat over twitch.tv/VogNetwork says, Rob, catch him right here, folks. I guess. I mean, it only took how many years? Isn't Pokemon having like its 25th anniversary right now? All right. Anyway, let's move on. We got a lot of news to get into. We've been talking a lot, so let's get to it. Loki, other big news and announcements this week.
Yeah, so they had this cool Nintendo Direct covering the indies again. So this Indie World Showcase. And during their like 15-minute live stream, they had several different games that they talked about. So some of the more notable stuff, obviously, we had Super Meat Boy Forever. It's going to be exclusive to the Switch on December 23rd. Also, there was Fist of Fluffs, which is a physics-based cat fighting game. So that was kind of fun. There's also, of course, Very, Very Valet, which reminds me of like those, like the cooking games that they have, where it's like a cooking party game. So that's supposed to be coming out early 2021.
Like Overcooked, those games?
Yeah, like Overcooked, but like parking, it's like that. Or there was another one with also like moving boxes and stuff. It's a similar type of kind of chaotic four-player co-op type thing. So that's a valet game that's going to be coming out. And Cyber Shadow, which looks a little looks like it took a little too many cues from Ninja Gaiden, but it's like a cyberpunk Ninja Gaiden game, and that's coming out January 26th.
There was another game I played recently because it was on. Is it The Last Messenger? Is that the game? There's some game on Xbox Game Pass. It is straight up not even shy that it's like a Ninja Gaiden game.
Yeah, well, that one's like a Ninja Gaiden game. This one, like, the sprites look almost identical, and the cutscenes really resemble the original cutscenes. In fact, like, I would almost say that they were copied, but it's not. It's very like if you were to show someone that, and like, they may think it's a Ninja Gaiden sequel, like, right, from the original NES. But anyways,
and Actef says it is The Messenger. I added another word.
Yeah, The Messenger. Yeah, I remember that one. So what else? The very big announcement was that Among Us is going to be out that day on the Switch. So that's pretty cool. Some other cool stuff that they were showing off as well. Going back to Cyber Shadow real quick. So if you scan your amiibo for Shovel Knight, it also adds like a power up to the game, which is kind of neat. They showed off also this game called Alba, the Wildlife Adventure, which is kind of more of like a calming, not Pokemon Snap, but it's a game where you take pictures of wildlife. I know there's like another game they're showing off for like the PlayStation 4 is kind of similar. So there's that. So lots of cool indie games that were being shown off there. Hmm. And Tunchi, or I think that's how it's spelled, Tunchi or Tunchi, which was a 2D beat 'em up game that's set in the Amazon rainforest. Also has the character from Hat in Time in there as well. And yeah, so lots of cool stuff to be. I mean, I like how they do showcase their indies almost every month or every few months at least.
Yeah, it seems like every month we're getting one of those. And the Among Us thing, of course, was big news because of, you know, just how big that game is. It is kind of interesting though that even they kind of suggest that, you know, use a voice chat app to use it, which is interesting. They don't even say use the Nintendo app. And probably because they don't let the third parties use the direct Nintendo app to do voice chatting, but they suggest using a voice chat app.
So I wonder if it's interesting crossplay. I don't know. With they have this version coming out, and then there's the one that's on Games Pass. I wonder if this is all crossplay, like PC and I think PC and Android and stuff are all crossplay as well.
Far as I know, yes. I'm hoping somebody in our chat over twitch.tv/VogNetwork will let us know, because I do see a couple people are saying that they picked up the game on Switch this week, so I'm curious if they played with people on PC. I don't see why it wouldn't be crossplay. Okay, and ActDeft confirming it is crossplay.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, that's very good. All right. So moving on, let's talk about some other big news that came out this week, because it's not often you see Nintendo, Sony, and Microsoft all coming together to make a statement. So this was everybody getting together to make one statement. Now, how often do you get that in the gaming industry? Not very often. And that's kind of what made this newsworthy. Now, it was posted on the official Xbox website, the Xbox Newswire. So I don't know if that indicates that they started the conversation or what. It could also just be that they have, you know, they were the first to get out the press release or whatever. I don't know. But anyway, it is a statement basically about kind of reaffirming that gaming is for everybody, and we need to basically take efforts to have a shared commitment to safer gaming for everybody. So that was kind of nice to see coming from all of those companies. So it was a very long statement with this, but it was nice to see them all come together. Let me try to get some of the highlights from this statement here. We believe gaming is for people of all ages, including our youngest and most vulnerable players. Technology makes compelling entertainment experiences possible, and we want to ensure that those experiences, especially when they involve interaction with others, are positive and respectful. At Xbox, we are aligned with both Nintendo on behalf of the community of Switch players and PlayStation in our belief that protecting players online requires a multidisciplinary approach, one that combines the benefits of advanced technology, a supportive community, and skilled human oversight. We can accomplish more when we work toward the same goal, and so we will each continue investing in, evolving, and amplifying our approaches to user safety. As we continue this work, we will prioritize protecting the safety of our players, especially those most vulnerable. And then they get into principles that will guide their work. The first one is prevention. Providing controls that will let players customize their gaming experience. Safety features have to be easy to use. Inform parents and players through code of conduct terms of use. Investing in technology to thwart improper conduct. I'm very much summarizing these bullet points for time. Partnership. Partnering with the industry, regulators, and law enforcement. Reinforcing a commitment to safety. Working with industry trade organizations, including and law enforcement and experts for advanced online safety initiatives. Shared research between the big three for the better of the industry. We believe that hate and harassment or exploitation of younger players in any way have no place in gaming. And then responsibility. We will hold ourselves accountable for making our platforms as safe as possible for all players, making it easy for players to report violations of the code of conduct, and removing content and enforcement actions for violation, complying with local laws, publishing rules and requirements, and basically reinstating that the partnership of to work together is going to help everybody and protect children and so forth. Working together, they'll accomplish more than alone.
So then why don't they also take the same approach and apply it toward their studios, toward their employees, treating other employees properly and making a safe working environment?
Great question. And I think, to be fair, I feel like specifically Microsoft, who put out this original release, I feel like, and unfortunately I don't have the press release to back, I feel like they have made that kind of commitment previously. And when we hear about some of these studios that are, you know, work to the bonus, it's not usually coming out of Microsoft. And some of the Sony stuff too. But then of course we all heard about the Last of Us Part 2 crunch time, but that was Naughty Dog, who is not...
Yeah.
Are they specific? Are they owned by Sony?
But my thought is that,
I get what you're saying, though.
But beyond that, not just internal in their studios, but the fact that they work with some of these studios that have some atrocious gender issues and just bigotry in their studios, I would think that they would also want to apply that standard to, if they were being truly adherent to that standard, that they would want to also... not work with companies until they've also committed to it in-house and out-of-house. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And Bob Coffey confirming they are Sony-owned. Sorry, I'm having a brain fog moment. I'm kind of... Why don't they fall under that same... But anyway, forget it. Some folks in chat noting that Swapnote got an update this week, which is relevant to the conversation because Nintendo had patched that because of the whole... You know, kids getting exposed to stuff. So weird. So, yeah, no, I'm with you, Darksagar. This strikes me as a this is nice. This is a nice message. This is a good guiding principles document. Now back it up. Right? Now, you know, show the action that backs it up, that it's not just words. But it is nice that the three of them are putting a unified front on this. That's for sure, because you don't see that every day. I'll give it that. All right. Indeed. Well, with that, let's move on to our next story. Speaking of kids, so, kind of.
Well, China has made some changes. They didn't really have a formal age rating system for video games, whereas here in the U.S. and in Canada, we've had ESRB, and Europe has had the PEGI system, PEGI. And so they have a new system that was put together by, I believe, Nico Partners, that is one of six measures proposed by the China State Administration of Press and Publications. I'll go into the other proposals in a moment, but this system is supposed to strengthen their current regulation around minors to prevent video game addiction. So now they have, and it's been through 41 revisions according to this. So it looks like they are being rated 8+, which is green, 12+, blue, 16+, yellow. The 18+ rating is gone. We don't know what happened to it. I think it graduated and left the house. Kidding. But at any rate, publishers have to display the relevant age rating on the game's website, the login screen, and other materials, including box art manuals, stuff like that. Now, in other news, and this kind of goes along with it, other proposals that have gone with this are real name identification systems, which we know how the fuck that works for people. Playtime cap for minors. The limit spending that a minor can spend in online games. Other options to work with parents and schools, and then working with local regulators. So the quote that the analyst firm said is that they don't expect the new measures to have, quote, a material impact on game publisher earnings and growth, especially since minors are a lower percentage of spenders. Yeah, but who buys the games for the minors? Just saying. So, true. Yeah, it's interesting to see how it plays out. I mean, in China also has a fairly stringent system anyway, especially with how they censor things. I guess it might make more sense for their, you know, and I certainly understand wanting to do playtime caps to limit the spending, but should that not be the parents' job? But then again, China has a lot more hands-on approach to their population.
Mm-hmm. I was I thought it was interesting they didn't already have a rating system similar to,
they did.
You know. Yeah.
They did. It just wasn't an official system. It
got it.
Like a suggested system.
Got it. So, well, technically the stuff we see with the ratings here isn't like a government mandated system, but it was a system that the industry had to come up with, or else the government was going to come up with its own system, which we know would have been terrible because it was the government's. So it was, yeah, it was kind of that sort of situation. So technically the rating system we have here is kind of unofficial, but then I guess we've also tried to see where they've built laws around it too. Where
it's
like,
industry official. So yeah, I do consider it to be official, just not federally mandated.
Yeah.
However, there wasn't any sort of uniform system. They had, like, I believe it was a generalized system. Maybe it was a little bit more uniform, but I think now they are working specifically with the government, because we've seen other stories come out of Japan with, you know, gaming cafes and kids, you know, spending their parents' money and other things like that. And, you know, I know that, of course, under that regime, they've got many different, I'm trying to be as diplomatic about this as possible.
I gotcha.
Different things culturally and legislatively that are playing into a decision to have this be nationally mandated.
Yeah.
And I don't live there. I don't really know many people who live in China who are gamers who operate under these systems. You know, I have personally seen an IQ once in my life. In real life, which we know what IQ is. It was Nintendo's way of releasing games in China. But overall, it's, I mean, maybe it's a good thing. We'll see. I mean, I think that the, over here, if parents actually paid attention to the ESRB ratings, then there'd be probably fewer complaints. But I don't know. We'll see. All right. If we have any listeners in China, I don't know if we do or how. Let us know how the system works over there. I'd be very curious to know more about it.
For sure. All right. Well, let's move on to some big changes over here. Loki.
Yeah. So apparently there was Codemasters was looking to be purchased. And originally they had a bid from Take-Two Interactive last month for $1 billion. Well, EA has swooped in and now purchased or made the agreement to purchase of the company for $1.2 billion. Of course, that would bring in a lot of racing series to EA. But then again, it's also EA who they just go in there and just fleece it dry and stuff it full of microtransactions before they finally kill off the actual company. So, all right. Well, apparently, though, the acquisition is supposed to be completed by the first quarter of 2021. And, of course, that'll give them a lot more racing games under their belt, aside from, of course, Need for Speed and Burnout. So, cool.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Don't know what else to say on that one. It's kind of one of those, hope it goes well for Codemasters. I mean, certainly it'll get their games out there, I think, for broader, and there's going to be a lot more of a marketing and ad budget. Not to say that didn't exist, but I think, you know, with as huge of a company as EA is, there will definitely be a big boost with that. And I guess if you want to look at it a certain way, that means more Codemasters stuff will show up on EA Play, which in turn will go to Game Pass. Although I think a lot of the Codemasters stuff is already on Game Pass anyway, but, you know,
yeah,
kind of interesting.
Whatever. It is what it is.
All right. Well, let's move on and talk about, I think this is cool. I don't know how many of you guys saw that direct this week of the Super Nintendo World theme park. So Miyamoto actually went out and showed over in Japan at the Universal Studios out there what this new land is going to look like, and it looks really cool. Now, I know you probably guys would expect me to play this on Twitch, but remember, we are trying to record a podcast, and I know there's many folks that listen to the audio throughout the week, so I don't want to detract from that too much. I will just urge everybody to check out this Direct when you can get a chance. It was posted on December 18th, called the Super Nintendo World Direct, and it looks like really cool. And it is interesting too, hearing them talk about some of the things that had to be considered for the world that maybe they didn't have to think about before. Like, what does the inside of a warp pipe look like? They've never really shown that before. I think maybe it was represented in some of the cartoons and stuff, but that isn't really canon. So what does the inside of a warp pipe look like? Yeah. So they actually show,
I'm looking at the Kinopios pictures.
Oh, have you not seen this yet? Oh, it's so good.
I've seen some of it, but I'm actually looking at just some of the pictures. I've seen a lot of the pictures that were posted on Twitter, but
yeah,
a lot of these are just ridiculously cute, and I would get on a plane for this.
Yeah, it's really that attention to detail that is really stunning with this whole thing. And technically, Darksoccer, you don't really have to get on a plane because this world will be coming to Universal Studios in Hollywood as well as the park in Orlando, Florida. So kind of like how when they got the rights to Harry Potter, they did the Wizarding World in Florida. They did one in LA, and I think Japan has one of those too. So it's kind of that concept with this. So
but
all
look at
the lands
parks
are
right now.
Oh
this,
yeah,
it's well, not a good time.
No, now so, is not a good time for theme parks. I mean,
it looks very limited in size, but I know that's the same
does.
With the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. There's like maybe one or two attractions there, and then that's it. Which is kind of disappointing if it's Super Nintendo World. It's like, well, it's Mario and done. There's no room to put anything else.
Also, with the Wizard World, it's different in Florida than it is in Hollywood, and I kind of think it sounds like Florida has the better version because they have more rides. But they also have more they have a boatload of real estate to play with in Florida. That's why there's like five Disney parks in Florida, and in the U.S. in Anaheim, it's always like, what are we going to lose to get something new? Like, yes, they're building a whole Avengers section in Disney California Adventure, but guess what? The Bugs Life stuff is gone now because they had to take something out.
Nothing was lost.
Nothing of value was. Well,
exactly.
Yeah, there was that. There was that train with all
the
scents.
Barbecue.
Yeah, yeah. There's that too. Yeah.
Hey, you know what? I still found I found my video that I took of them singing Happy Trails, and it makes me sad.
Yeah. Well, and Bobby made a comment in chat saying now is the best time for theme parks to be building new experiences. Yes. This is
building.
A great time. Yeah. Building. Yes.
Yes.
Opening, not so much. But by the time this gets to California, you know, we're talking at this point 2022, maybe 2023. And I think theme parks will be back on the table for discussion when we get that far out. I hope so. So anyway,
I'm curious to see though what the new Mario Kart ride is, because they kind of briefly touched on it that it's got like some AR component to it, but they didn't really show if it's like a roller coaster or if it's like kind of one of those just motion rides, not like motion ride, but like, you know, trackless motion ride, I guess, or something like that. I don't know. You know, maybe it is a roller coaster. I don't know. Oh, think cars like California Adventure. I guess, yeah, yeah. That'd be cool.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be fun. Especially if you get to throw red shells at people, that'll be the best part.
Yeah.
All right. Moving
well,
on.
The cars get the spin out when you get hit with the red shell.
Yeah. Shells, it just sends everyone to the back of the line to get into the ride.
Another thing that's at those theme parks at Universal is the Simpsons ride, because the one in Hollywood replaced that Back to the Future ride. I don't know if you guys remember that from when we were really young.
Yes,
but yeah, now they have that Simpsons ride. And that one, I like that ride. That one's really fun. But what makes that ride is like the whole queue and everything. There's so many jokes leading up to it. It's great. But Dark Soccer has some Simpsons related news, right?
I do. And not only is it Simpsons news, it's Dreamcast news. You know, I love me some Dreamcast.
Same.
So, there was a dev kit that was found. Apparently, it was a broken Dreamcast dev kit's hard drive that had this. And it looks like it's a playable demo for a game called The Simpsons Bug Squad. So, as far as we can tell from this video, you're playing as a bug and the Simpsons are walking around.
It was a tech demo.
Yeah, tech demo. But at any rate, it was supposed to be, though, for a title that was called Simpsons Bug Squad. I think it's just, you know, setting it up. It was by Red Lemon Studios, who is no longer among the living. And it actually, I mean, for the demo, it looked really good. It was all cel-shaded. It looked very much like the show. I mean, if it's just, you know, cel-shaded, non-textured 3D, then that wouldn't really have been too difficult for the Dreamcast to do. But it looked pretty cool. I watched a little bit of the video. There are tools out there to learn how to make it playable, so you can check it out for the places that still probably have it up. But it looks pretty cool. And it's just like when we find more things, little tidbits on these development systems that people pick up for a song and are able to pull games out like that or demos like that. I just think it's pretty cool stuff. You know, I like seeing what could have been.
And the guy said that there was some additional tech demos on there from that same developer. So it's exciting to see what other things they have, considering that they were working on a lot of games developed for Fox Interactive.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting. And even that like tech demo of the Simpsons game, that looked really good for like a Dreamcast game. Like that's, you know, I don't know. It's pretty solid.
Did genuinely have really good looking games. I mean, every system has its, you know, steaming turds. But in this case, especially for a game that's a cel-shaded game like this, that, you know, like I said, wouldn't have any major textures on it. I would expect it to actually run pretty well on the Dreamcast, depending on, you know, everything else trying to load in the game. But it looks fun. It looks like would have been a really good, you know, fun outlet if ever we had gotten more goodies on the Dreamcast.
Yeah. All right. I'm very similar to Dark Tatsuya in our chat, who says, love me some unreleased game stories. Hell yeah. Over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. ZenMonkey11 following that up. An In Living Color RPG and Married with Children Sims-like game. Who knows what they may have been working on. Maybe
you
your fire
do that in the Sims.
A Firefly game, right? All right.
I'm still waiting for my Jerry Seinfeld point and click game. You know, that's supposed to be coming at some point.
Excuse me while I throw up in my mouth a little bit.
What's the clicking do? Nothing.
No, it really is. They remember they were making that Seinfeld point and click game that someone was doing as like a fan game.
Yeah,
it's a fan game, not an official product. Yeah,
I hate right. that show.
But I'd accept any TV show like that, like Married with Children, Golden That's Girls. Right. Why not?
You know, Bobby chimed in and said there was a Homie D. Clown PC game in the 90s. I saw that on one of y'all's Games Done Quick marathon, whether it was Awesome or Summer. I don't remember. It was one of the two. But that was in one of the marathons. It was in the not great game block. So I remember Awful. Seeing that thing. Yeah, I remember yeah. seeing that thinking they had this game and I didn't own it somehow because I had a lot of crappy games in the 90s. I'll tell you that. Mm. So, okay, it was this most recent Summer Games Done Quick, says Bobby. So... interesting. All right. Moving on. Let's get to some more news. Loki, this is one of those things we should have seen coming.
Yeah, well, it is the MO of Epic Games and Fortnite to borrow
Don't hold
things
back.
From pop culture. So they came out with a brand new, totally original mode called The Spy Within. And with The Spy Within, it is a spinoff of their standard Battle Royale type game where you have to figure out who the imposters are and take your crew and try to complete tasks. And you can't talk to each other unless you call a meeting. Gee, what could they be possibly ripping off? Yes, clearly inspired by Among Us. It looks incredibly cheap of them to do that. But then again, if you think about it, Fortnite pretty much exists as, you know, PUBG was popular at the time and their original game Fortnite didn't look all that popular. Let's make a Battle Royale game out of it.
Yep.
Hey, look at that. It's popular. So
Fortnite didn't get popular until it ripped off PUBG. That's right. Many people forget that wasn't supposed to be Fortnite. Battle Royale exactly. took over and became Fortnite, but there was actually like a whole single player game that, you know, was
like a survival game.
Yeah, it was like Cookie Cutter, you know, like all the other shooters out there.
I didn't think it was like the other shooters.
It wasn't like survival horror, but it had the building elements in it too, which they just took from Minecraft. So, you know, Fortnite is popular from stealing all these other ideas, really. So
yeah, and then of course they also have they added a 120 hertz mode as well for the newer consoles, so the Xbox Series X, and then also you can also do like 1440p on the Series X at 120 hertz and 1080p on the Series S, and I think the PlayStation 5 also got an additional graphics mode as well. And then also, of course, there is a house party video chat app that you can set up. I guess they're using it. Do they have like some investment in this or something? Because I guess this is similar to like using Discord or something. But I don't know. It's such a ripoff. I don't think this is going to be popular, honestly. It does seem like kind of just a cheap ripoff. And I think Among Us isn't all of a sudden going to become unpopular because of this, but it's just that's just really low.
Well,
I guess not low enough for Epic Games.
Also unsurprising, though, like real talk, because haven't we been saying for the longest time, oh, every game's got to put in a Battle Royale mode. Every game's going to have this new Battle Royale thing until the next big thing comes along. Who knows what the next big thing will be, but it'll show up someday, and then every game's going to put that. Oh, it's here. Of course, with Among Us being one of the top 10 on Twitch pretty consistently at this point, with very high profile people like AOC playing Among Us on her Twitch feed, you know, this is a thing now. So, I'm not surprised at all that this got ripped off. And I think this also begs the question, what's going to be the next game to borrow from Among Us? Are we going to get Super Mario Imposter? Or what what game?
No.
I know we don't we haven't done listless in a long time, but if we did, that would be the game. That would be the list I want to do right now. Game that is most likely to implement an Among Us mode next.
Oh, I can tell you already what they would have, what they would probably do. It would be an obstacle course type game, Fall Guys ish. You know, like they would rip off Fall Guys, I think. I don't know.
No, not what does Fortnite rip off next? Oh. What is the next game to rip off Among Us? Although that's a good answer too. What will be the next game to like Call of Duty?
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah. I don't know. It's because one, I mean, I get it. You can't necessarily copyright certain gameplay elements.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing.
It's also because they're a small company, and they could probably get away with it.
Bobby Blackwolf would have won the listless with this answer. Bobby Blackwolf said, "Pixel poops. Who pooped?"
Sure, why not? We can rip them off.
Well, I saw him back behind the taco place, and so I know he was getting the tacos. I saw Loki vent. I just needed fresh air.
We vented, all right.
All right.
It was just gas. It wasn't.
Okay. S200 Matt says, you just delayed the game more with that idea. And Bobby says, that's the Super Nintendo sequel. So, all right. Let's move on. Questbuster, why do you need to roll a toilet paper right now? Okay. Let's talk about League of Legends. Maybe Riot Games will steal Among Us next. Who knows? Because Riot did just announce that they're putting out a new MMO that's going to be tied into the League of Legends universe. And it was done kind of without a ton of fanfare, which kind of surprised me. But there was a Twitter exchange going on where a VP at Riot, Greg Street, talked about how he's been helping to develop the League universe and that this new game he's working on, some might call it massive, and folks have been asking them to create it. And then there's like a follow-up tweet that basically just says it very plainly. An MMO is coming. There's no teaser trailer. There's no non-gameplay trailer with concept art or whatever. There's nothing. Just, you know, we announce things on Twitter now. Why not? The government likes to announce policies on Twitter, so why don't we just drop game announcements casually on Twitter like they're nothing? I guess that's the world we live in now. But I know a lot of people will be very happy to hear this, to hear that the League of Legends universe is going to come to an MMO. It makes a lot of sense. And Riot has been trying to expand on that universe a little bit, you know, so like things like Dauntless and some of the other games they've been putting out. So this doesn't surprise me, really, to be honest.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, usually we would take a trip down memory lane to do the classic. Darkstalker is on our way back, so I think we're going to get settled in here. Okay, so anyway, so Darkstalker, if you're back, you're back just in time because we're going to get into the classic game of the week. So good timing. Hopefully she's good to go.
I forgot to turn off my cam.
I noticed you turned it off and then back on somehow. So anyway.
Yeah. No, I had an emergency potty run.
No worries. All right. We're into the classic game of the week tonight. Every week, Dark Sakura steps into the gaming vault to find a game that she thinks, hey, you kids should be checking this game out. Stop playing Among Us and Fortnite and check out a real classic game. Darkstalker is going to step into the gaming vault and find a game for us. I do want to say, though, Darkstalker, I don't know if you... it was something I noticed with the clip of this game, and I'll let you introduce in a minute, but I do just want to warn the listeners. There's a lot of flashing in it. So if you are somebody who's susceptible to flashes, you may wish to take a moment to minimize the window so you can just listen. The video will stop when Darkstalker stops talking about it. But I noticed. I was like, ooh, there's a lot of flashes in this. I hope it's okay.
I didn't get a chance to really watch it. I was actually looking for one that had sound.
Oh, gotcha.
We were right in the middle of doing something, and I had to real quick find a video. So.
No, I mean, that was the game, so I've never heard of this game causing problems, but I just want to warn, if you do not like flashes for whatever reason, please avert your eyes now, because I'm going to start the footage as soon as Darkstalker says what the game of the week is.
So the game of the week is called Arabian Fight, and it was released only in arcades by Sega in 1992. So, it was released in January 1992, so the game was in development through 1991 and copyrighted then. So, this is kind of your standard beat 'em up that went along with the other ones of its generation. You know, followed kind of like Golden Axe and Streets of Rage, three action buttons, one punch, one kick, one special attack. Although you have magic-based attacks, kind of like how Golden Axe has its special attacks. You can also throw your opponents, and you can collect items from chests, as well as enemies to do different points, restore health, give you more of your special attack. The game actually does something a little bit unique for its era. Basically, with this game is it has these different scaling techniques to allow the characters to move back and forth in the field. Sort of think of a Fatal Fury, you know, where you've got your different fields, you can jump back and forth. So it will use the foreground elements for special attacks. You can have characters perform their attacks very close to the screen so that only their head and torso fit, kind of like it's animated. And different enemies can jump in from the foreground to fight, although they can't be hit during these animated sequences. And it actually looks like, you know, like an interesting combination of straight-up animation and sprite-based fighting. So, but basically with this game, I mean, it's really fairly simple. You play as one of four characters. And you're trying to save the Princess Lurana from being attacked by a corrupt sheik. And so you have to travel to the castle to save the princess. Yeah, be a princess. So, but anyway, your characters, your main character is called Sinbad, not Sinbad, Ramaya, Goldor, or Data. Sinbad is the handsome hero. Ramaya is the token, beautiful, scantily dressed female of the game. Goldor is the muscle and, you know, the brute. And then, Data is a kind of spiritual looking bald dude. So, it was listed for 1992 by Game Machine in Japan as being the most as the seventh most successful table arcade unit of that year. Now I'm bringing this up because at SSJ 100, Matt, it's not Sinbad, it's Sinbat. T. And no, not Goldar from Power Rangers. So at any rate, the game is actually included on the Astro City Mini, the little arcade cabinet being released with all these Sega games. And so there's a chance that people will be able to play it at home now, you know, instead of, you know, emulation or anything like that, or, you know, MAME, again, emulation. Or actually owning a machine. Because I don't think it's been released on any home compilation. So, there it is. Really quick one. But you know what? It's a neat game. It's a neat game.
Yeah, I gotta admit, this is not one I was super familiar with before. Let me take the game down here real quick. And so that, okay, oops. I got to the shot that doesn't have my co-host on it. So the game is now off the screen if you had looked away a moment ago. Again, I'm not aware of anything that game caused or any problems, but I couldn't help when I was looking at the footage. I was like, ooh, this seems like a lot of flashing. So I'm admittedly being really overcautious, perhaps with recent events in the industry. Yeah, perhaps with recent events in the industry in the front of my mind.
Cyberpunk.
Yeah, I was just, you know what? I better safe than sorry when it comes to that stuff. So, but there's your classic game. But I have to say, it was not one I was super familiar with. But it definitely kind of did some interesting thing with the graphics there, where it was like kind of like this kind of pseudo 3D effect that's very patently late 90s in it, which I thought was interesting.
I really haven't seen too many other games that do that kind of thing using the large sprites and animation as a foreground element. And
not to that extreme. Like that game takes it to a real extreme.
And I think it's really, really kind of refreshing for its time. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I think
of course.
It would be, that's going to be really fun.
Yeah. All right.
So I honestly would hope that Sega would consider doing some sort of, like Switch release or something for that.
Nice. I'm going to insert a story here, kind of a breaking story, if you will, before we get into rapid fire news, because this is about classic games. So I'll kind of insert this here. It's something Bobby brought to my attention based on, get this, we got a YouTube comment because over at VOG Network, we actually have a YouTube channel. I'm going to admit we don't have a lot of OLR content on there, at least not right now. Going through the 3-hour episodes is a lot to go through to put stuff on YouTube. But Bobby has put some highlights from his show because he's only an hour. So he's put some highlights and some clips from his show up there. And one of them was that recently he built an Outrun cabinet and he was showing kind of that and what that looked like. So it was the arcade 1-Up Outrun cabinet specifically. And he was showing that, and that's over on YouTube. So cheap plug for Bobby's YouTube over at VOG Network on YouTube. But we got a comment that said, oh, there's 5 games now. What? Because in the Outrun cabinet that Bobby showed, there's only 4 games. And so there was a comment that said there's 5 games now. Well, get this. Over at arcade1up.com, they just announced they put out a firmware update for their Outrun cabinet that has added a 5th game. Rad Rally is the new game that's been added to the Outrun cabinet. This is the first time that something like this has been done. And this explains why, potentially, there was a USB port on the back of this cabinet that not all the Arcade 1-Up cabinets have had. Or maybe this is something we're going to see moving forward, is that the USB stuff becomes kind of standard there. So kind of the breaking news there. Arcade 1-Up flexing and now adding an additional game to an existing cabinet, with Rad Rally having come to the Outrun cabinet. And you got to love the chat. The chat is going, ah, it wasn't Spy Hunter. No, I imagine Spy Hunter will get its own cabinet when they're ready to put that game out. I'm not familiar with Rad Rally. Jamie, is that a title familiar to you, and how that would fit into the Outrun universe?
We actually, it came up in conversation last night just from, gosh, what was it we were looking at? I think we were trying to watch something for Daytona 2. And there, well, because I like, I hate playing Daytona. I hate the attract mode, but I like all the rest of the music in it because that dude is so enthusiastic. Mm-hmm. But I think it was like a poster or something that we were looking at, just like a still picture for something. It might have been some cabinet art for Daytona 2 that it didn't look like any of the cars in there. It was something sort of offhand. And Dan brought up that game. Oh, it could be from that, you know, is what it looked like. But I don't really remember the whole situation.
I get it. So I'm looking up more information on it. It's actually Rad Mobile was a way that this game was often referred to. And also, when it was ported to the Sega Saturn, it was called Gale Racer. But essentially, it's all a very similar game. And they say that usually it is credit for Yu Suzuki. It does kind of fall into kind of the Outrun family in that way. And now that I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh, okay, I have seen this before. So it's just kind of a racing game that had several different names with minor tweaks. But that's still very interesting. Kind of neat. So, all right.
But yeah, it's funny that that came up so randomly in our conversation last night.
Yeah.
So, and then you mentioned, I was like, oh yeah, Dan, we had that kind of mention in passing.
And Orange Wright says Rad Rally was the sequel to Rad Mobile. So interesting. And Bobby says it's a micro USB port on the back of the cabinet. So if he wants to add the game, he has to get a little converter to do it. That's still pretty cool though. Very interested in that. Also, hey Bobby, and I'm going to totally leverage the show. I meant to ask you this on the call earlier. Can you send me the link to where you bought your Mega 64, the large Commodore 64? Because I want one. And when I went on to Amazon to get one, all I could find were the minis. And I think I found like one big one, but I think it might have been out of stock, or it was from a seller name I didn't recognize. So I was like, is this a resale? I don't know what it is. So, maybe they don't have it anymore. I don't know, but I'm just going to ask very nicely for that link. All right, because I want one as a Christmas present to myself. Let's.
Hey, what was the version of Rad Mobile that came out on Saturn? I'm just trying to double check something real quick.
Gale Racer, I think I closed
Gale
the window.
Racer, that's
Gale
it.
Racer, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for.
They're all technically different games, but they're just kind of all like spiritual, like, you know, related. So
yeah, that was the one I was trying to think of.
Got it. All right, let's get to some rapid fire news and some other news around the industry pretty quickly here. Loki.
Yeah. So we've got some more news about Control, which is coming to getting a PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X and S version with ray tracing. That's coming in February on the 2nd. And then it's going to also have a full retail release on March 2nd. They're going to have a performance mode, which runs at 60 FPS on both platforms, while I guess the standard version is going to run 30 FPS, but will allow for ray tracing. So kind of the standard fare that we've been getting with some of these newer games. Just remember, though, you have to purchase the Ultimate Edition in order to be able to get the Xbox Series S and X upgrade and PlayStation 5 upgrade. So that's annoying. It says, yes. We're unfortunately unable to offer an upgrade path to all existing Control players. That is a bunch of crap because they accidentally released it. So that is wrong. But that is what they're sticking by. So if you feel it's worth it, honestly, I will just wait for it to hit Game Pass. And then Cyberpunk 2077 is getting a crossover with Death Stranding. Or I should say Death Stranding is getting a crossover with Cyberpunk, which makes sense since Kojima did have a cameo in Cyberpunk 2077.
Oh, really?
But apparently, yes, he did. He is in the game. So you'll be able to get a few different things there, including a Silverhand cybernetic arm. Also, there's some Cyberpunk-themed holograms and a selection of customization and clothing options. And in addition, you can also equip Sam with a new hacking ability, which allows him to mess with sensor poles and mule tracks and stuff. So that's coming to PC right now. They haven't announced any sort of update to the PlayStation 4 version, but at least PC is going to be getting that. So neat. That's neat.
And SG100 Matt saying you can still unlock the car from Cyberpunk in Horizon 4, I believe. Yes.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah.
And I've been seeing that Death Stranding Cyberpunk thing being promoted in the Epic Game Store because, you know what, despite the fact that we talk a significant amount of shit about Epic on this show sometimes, look, I love ZZT. There's something nice. And I also love free games, and they've been giving away a lot of them. So just a reminder, if you haven't been going in there and getting your free game every day, get on that. There'll probably be something real good in the coming days. Usually, I think it was last year when they gave away like Civ 6 on the last day or something. I remember there was something big they gave away at one point. So keep an eye on that, y'all. All right. Meanwhile, though, the other rapid fire news I had for you guys, Jason referenced this in the intro tonight. Thank you, Jason. But Gitadora, or Guitar Freaks and Drum Mania, if you will, has officially been released for PC. Now, we talked a little bit about the beta test prior, but the official release has now come out. At least in Japan, not a big fan of these games not coming out in the U.S. I know Jason addressed the music licensing thing at the top of the show. Still a little bit disappointing, at least that the originals can't make their way into some type of U.S. version. But it's probably harder to release games in the U.S. when you've closed all your U.S. offices. Still, if you are the type that is fine reading enough Japanese to get through this and you use the Konami Online or the Kona Suite online, there's probably going to be a lot here for you, including over 200 songs that is from the arcade version of Gitadora. It's a very true to arcade experience, which I would expect it to be because those arcade machines basically run on modified PCs of sorts. The online service for this game will run you 1,628 yen a month. That's about $15. So kind of what you'd pay for an MMO, I suppose. Yeah, it's not bad. So check that out, music game fans, if that is up your alley and you don't mind having to do it all in Japanese.
And they also have a controller.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they got PC controllers coming out. That's not going to turn into something where somebody puts out a freemium type of thing that uses the controllers, I'm sure.
It'd be like a
Stepmania type of thing.
Right, yeah. Well, I'm sure that it looks already very much like a Rock Band controller or Guitar Hero controller. And it's expensive. It's $350, basically.
You know what they need to do? Oh, Jesus Christ. You know what they need to do, though? If it looks like one of those controllers, how about putting out a controller that works with Rock Band? Because it's kind of funny. Now, everybody used to have those plastic instruments shitting up their house everywhere. so many of those have been thrown away or gone to the used market or what have you. Now that, like, Rock Band 4 is backwards compatible, at least on Xbox for sure. I'm pretty sure it is on PS5 as well. I don't see why it wouldn't be. People kind of want those plastic instruments again. They want to be able to play those games again with the instruments, and you can't really do it without buying, you know, really. Now people are charging an arm and a leg for those things. So
I should probably sell mine. I mean, shit.
If you're not using them, somebody will buy them. So anyway, just an interesting aside I thought I'd kind of bring up because it's related. Also worth noting, we talked previously about during the Game Awards, Sephiroth was going to be released as a new character in Smash Brothers. When is that going to happen? Well, for many people, it has already happened, because if you can beat him in a challenge mode, even if you do it on Bobby Blackwolf mode, that is very easy mode, you will earn Sephiroth. So most people that really want him have him. For everybody else, I think it's the 23rd, the 22nd, most of you are probably already in there playing with him. Also, some Mii Fighters came out with that, which is pretty cool. But this is the really funny thing, okay? You ready? The Mii Fighters that came out to go along with Sephiroth. Barret, makes sense, right? Final Fantasy character. Tifa, Final Fantasy character. Aerith, Final Fantasy character. Chocobo, with a little hat, right? Cute, Final Fantasy character. And then the last one that came out, Geno. That's right. Geno is now in Smash Brothers. Yes, the beloved Super Mario RPG character of all time finally made his way to Smash Brothers as a Mii costume.
That's unfortunate.
And the internet fanboys shed a tear for their obscure character that will never come.
Waluigi says hi.
No, Waluigi says, wah! Now it can be my turn. All right. Anyhow. Moving on, Dark Sakura, what do you have for us?
Well, some pinball news, which has kind of been there. People have been polarized actually over this. I've been chatting with some people, but the new Stern game that was announced is Led Zeppelin, which I don't know. I'm kind of tired of them doing all these like band games. I mean, but getting the license for Led Zeppelin, that's pretty cool. And on top of that, it's a Steve Ritchie table, and Steve is known for his fast action type of games. I mean, he did Black Knight 2000, Black Knight Sword of Rage, the newer Star Wars that came out. So he's known for his fast tables. And I think it looks pretty good. I mean, you've got your usual multiple versions of it. So there is the regular production one. There is the Pro. And then there is the premium limited edition. And then you can also get accessories to go for the table. So, I don't know. I know people who are planning on getting it, and I'll play theirs when it comes out. I'm not in a hurry for it myself, but hey, it's Led Zeppelin. So also SNK is getting a little bit, teasy. They have, teased a console coming out in 2021 that, quote, is a system to bridge the needs between passionate fans and console gaming enthusiasts. So I'm wondering if we might be getting some sort of AES, MVS, like, machine, I guess, have, like, maybe multiple carts or something, or have the cartridges be on smaller cartridges and release that simply just for the SNK items.
They had the Mini 50-in-1, and then they released their own version. It's not officially Arcade 1-Up. It's a clone, basically, another company that has like 50 games in it. But
those were emulated.
Okay, yeah, and this could be something maybe uses cartridges. I don't know. It's interesting.
But I don't know. I mean, it could be interesting. It depends on when they put out more information about it. But yeah, I think I still would just rather have had like an all-in-one MVS AES and be done with it. So we'll see.
Yeah. I'd like to see that kind of come back, but we'll see.
Yeah.
All right.
Cartridges the size of your head.
Cartridges that could kill somebody, honestly.
Oh, they're not that heavy, but yeah.
All right. Then you're not using it right. All right. Anyhow. And Dr. Suya says maybe same idea as their arcade thing, but a console instead. Either way, it's sure to be better than the VCS. Just saying. All right. Womp womp. Let's travel around the world and check out some release dates, which I imagine it's finally going to start to get quiet this week, seeing as, oh, it's Christmas this week. But this has been a weird year all around the board. So what's coming out this week, Loki?
Not a ton of things. So you're right. So Double Dragon Neon on Nintendo Switch, Override 2 Super Mech League on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X. Super Meat Boy Forever on PC and Nintendo Switch. Who's Your Daddy on PC, Mac, and Xbox One. And then last but not least, we have... I take that back. So we're going to have, looks like, the Hong Kong Massacre on Nintendo Switch. And then the last but not least is Earth Defense Force World Brothers. That's that voxel... cutesy Earth Defense Force games coming to Nintendo Switch and PlayStation 4.
Neat.
That's it.
All right.
That's it for the year.
That's it for the year. All right. Traveling to Japan and checking out the releases there. It's a little different. Christmas a little different there. So here's some games that you can play while you enjoy your cake. On the Nintendo Switch this week, Earth Defense Force World Brothers, like Loki just mentioned, is out in Japan as well on the 24th. Fight of Gods also out. Sniper Elite 4, Vampire with a Y. Is out. Also the Aliste Collection and Metal Max Xeno and the that's a peripheral. That's it. But there's next week. I'm going to spoil next week's just because I want to get Dark Sakura's reaction to the fact that on New Year's Eve, Digimon Survive is coming out on the Switch in Japan. That's kind of fun. Dark Sakura was really the only person I knew who stand Digimon. Does.
Digimon Zero Two.
I see.
Yeah, that the whole first era Digimon Zero Two, and Digimon Try.
Gotcha. The PlayStation 4, pretty similar story. Earth Defense Force, World Brothers, Vampire, the Aliste Collection, all that same stuff also on the PlayStation 4. So those are your releases for this week. How about the UK, Dark Sakura?
There's only one. Only one. And it is Overdrive 2 Ultraman Deluxe Edition. That's it.
All right.
On the 22nd, which is in a day in the UK.
So. Very soon. All right. We have some more stories for you guys, then we'll get to the listener roundtable. But first, Loki.
Yeah, so it's just the game industry, I guess. But... you know, we talked about shady reviews and stuff and not revealing all the information when we were talking about Cyberpunk and that type of thing. Well, now game companies are wisening up to the fact that game reviews come out. People purchase the games based on those initial reviews. And sometimes they don't like hearing about how there's microtransactions in the game. So what do they do? If you're Ubisoft, you wait a month before you start selling those really egregious microtransactions. And that's what they do with Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
Or you wait until right before the Christmas Kwanzaa holiday season when this gift is going to start showing up for people. And that's when you pull the trigger.
And this isn't new for them. They've done sort of XP booster type things before. But now Assassin's Creed Valhalla, they've, I guess... updated the game to include them, and it's gonna be leave you $10 lighter if you decide to purchase it, and it'll allow you to earn 50% more experience. And it's I don't know, clearly, I mean, I get it, sometimes people are in a hurry to play a game and stuff like that, and they don't want to work through whatever. But, you know, back in the day, that used to be like cheats and stuff. And let's be honest, if this is the type of thing that you like doing, I might suggest getting a PC, because you can just cheat without paying $10. You can just increase, you know, your levels or whatever without having to shell out money for something that would normally be free.
Just use modifications.
So, exactly.
You can get double XP and titties in your game through the magic of mods.
Now, this is not the first time, like I said, that they've done this. They did this in Odyssey as well, and they had denied before that boosters didn't influence the design of the game. They basically say they didn't throttle the game based on this stuff. However, you may remember there was also, you know, the Lord of the Rings game that came out that they did, like, and a lot of these games do increase the grind to allow you to be more motivated to purchase these. So they may say it didn't influence it, but it influenced it.
Questbuster, in chat is pointing out, oh, come on, the experience boost for $10 for Valhalla, it's not really necessary. So kind of pointing out that, you know, for this game, it's probably not needed. Although saying Odyssey's leveling was glacial, though, there was definitely a difference there versus Origin. So kind of interesting how you may not need it, but they'll still sell it to you.
Exactly. Speaking of things that they're going to sell to you is a subscription to their Ubisoft game service. So Ubisoft Plus, of course, you know, that $15 service that basically like the EA Play stuff. Well, now they're going to be offering it to Stadia users as well. So that's right. Not only do you get to pay for Stadia, but you can also pay for this as well if you want to play all these different Ubisoft games. I guess that's slightly better than paying for each individual game with Stadia, as that's not very good value as it is, but I mean, this is slightly better, I guess, but it is something that they are offering because, you know, they want all the money, so why not.
All right, yeah, well, let's move on and talk about that streaming service that y'all are going to play this game on and complain about this DLC on, just like we're doing right now here on lovely Twitch. And Twitch has announced a variety of policy updates this week. In fact, you've probably been seeing some of them scroll across the bottom for those of you that are watching live on Twitch this week. It has to do with some big policy updates. They did a town hall earlier this week. Finally, they had promised that, and they did the town hall. And they talked about some recent policy changes, and they addressed some things about the DMCA, sexual harassment, ads, and some of those other issues. But what was interesting is kind of what everybody kind of was talking about after the fact was Twitch has decided to ban words like simp, incel, and virgin, but when used in derogatory contexts. So, I mean, like if I was talking
cells
about
deserve to be derogatorily.
Yeah. Well, if I'm talking about the Virgin Mary at Christmas or something, then that's fine because I'm not using it in a derogatory manner. But if I'm calling somebody a virgin who can't drive, then that is using it in a derogatory manner.
But how is Twitch going to understand context of stuff? Because
that's a great question that I think they should answer.
Because if I'm going to guess, I'm going to say they can't. Because most of these platforms, when it comes to banning people for different things, you know, they'll cite that you're violating their rule, but it may be, you know, in the context of it, it may not be egregious. So I don't all of a sudden believe that they're going to start applying context to this. I think they're just going to straight up just ban it altogether. And in fact,
I'm going to stop you because we don't want misinformation out there. They did clarify these words are not blanket banned. They will only incur penalties when they, quote, negatively refer to another person's sexual practices. It does sound like
so
Twitch.
Subjective.
It is. And Twitch is kind of adding it to their utility belt of reasons we could ban you if you're being a douche nozzle in someone's chat. Then we can say, well, you're not supposed to use words like that in a negative context. You called somebody a virgin who can't drive in their chat, and so you're banned for that because you were, in general, you were being an asshole, but this specifically is why you got the ban. I kind of feel like that's what they're doing, but I'm not disagreeing with either of you either because there's so much of it that's subjective, and how do we know that this is going to be applied appropriately across the board, right? So, it should be noted, they've already been removing emotes. So that's why you don't have a VOG Network simp emote, is that we're not allowed to have them, and it wasn't something we wanted anyway. But there have been channels that had emotes, and they're no longer there, and they don't approve new ones. Now, some people are still calling out some of the other problems that are still happening on Twitch, such as you can still walk into people's chat and say slurs with little to no action. And where was the where is the outrage that people are having over these words, simp, incel, and virgin? Where was that outrage when black and female streamers were complaining about being harassed on Twitch? That comment from streamer DePurple Sharpie. Where was Twitch's we need to stop harassment stance then? So, fair question. I guess one could say at least they're trying, but this almost goes back to what we said at the top of the show with the Nintendo, Sony, Microsoft thing. It's one thing to put out a statement. It's another to take the actions to back it up. And I think that's where we're at here with the Twitch thing. Okay, how nice that you have a policy now and you are putting on this front of taking things seriously. But until you put the actions behind it to make folks like DePurple Sharpie feel more welcome on Twitch, as opposed to the unnecessary bullshit that streamers have to put up with sometimes, then we just think it's all lip service. And I get that. So I think we need to see Twitch, you know, really do something besides just, oh, we're going to ban for these certain words, like actually do them. So,
well, here's the funny thing, too, is like what, like after this announcement came out, there was actually one of the team members of, I guess, the Atlanta FaZe who his name is Simp. And so he's like, I have like some issues with this idea.
Well, but also this is also, I honestly, Loki, like I get that, but I think this is a problem where people are fixated on the headline, and the headline going around is Twitch has banned simp, incel, virgin. People aren't reading the fucking article and noticing that it's banned when used in certain contexts, and there's no blanket robot ban on those words. So that guy who called himself simp is not by context breaking the rule just by existing. It's if somebody decides to take it to a place where they're making fun, you know, with it, then that I feel like people are reacting to a headline only without really looking at the details of it. And that works both ways. So
sure.
All right. Sia Tiberian chat says, share, you're a simp incel virgin who can't drive. That'll be the remake, Sia Tiberi, the unavoidable remake of Clueless. I hope some of you caught my reference there to the holy text of the great, yes, Alicia Silverstone classic. Thank you. Thank you, Dark Soccer. I knew if anyone would. All right. Rest in peace, Brittany Murphy, forever in our hearts. All right. Moving on. Let's get to some other stuff. Dark Soccer.
Well, we had talked a little bit about, you know, safety and trying to ban whatever. So we have news from Afghanistan. They've banned PUBG and called for regulation of video games. It's the Afghanistan Telecom Regulatory Authority, the ATRA, announced that they decided to ban PUBG temporarily after a comprehensive assessment. They held meetings with various ministries like their religious affairs, education, public health, communications and science, psychologists, parents, headmasters of schools, telecom, civil activists, and PUBG gamers before submitting a report to the authority board. And to quote, the decision was taken to block this game on a temporary basis considering social and security perspectives. ATRA continues investigations and consultations to find out a permanent solution there too. They were saying that the games have, quote, negative impacts on children, that they want to provide support for games that comply with Afghani and social culture as well as religious values. And so the ban, while they didn't say so, it also would apply to, I think, all iterations of PUBG. They've now, like, joined the list of other countries like Nepal, Iraq, Jordan, Pakistan, India, to prevent, and some places said, negative effects or to be harmful for society, and would also cause a potential national security threat. Pakistan, the ban was temporary, with the Islamabad High Court lifting that ban later. The country, though, in India, their thing is saying that their Ministry of Electronics and IT were alleging that the game was stealing user data in an unauthorized manner for servers outside of India. Hmm. So there you go.
Interesting. A very real reaction from SSJ100 Matt in our chat over twitch.tv/VogNetwork, who says, the folks who care will fire up those VPNs to play.
Yep.
So kind of go outside the ban using that, and that's for sure. But not every day you hear about a country banning a video game, so interesting nonetheless. So, all right. Well, let's move on. Loki.
All right. It's been a couple weeks since the Game Awards, but we have some of the kind of numbers and everything. So not surprising, because everybody's stuck at home. Viewership has increased by 83%, and that was over 8.3 million viewers that tuned into the Game Awards this year. So pretty decent size event, I think. And so that was all coming from Jeff Keighley on Twitter talking about the viewership for that. And of course, I expect it to be even bigger next year. So pretty awesome.
Yeah, I think you're right that probably the stay at home probably played into that a lot. There's just more people in general watching TV. But I think there is something to be said about this particular award show is getting a lot more credit. And I think a lot more the co-streaming is helping too. Like, I'm not just saying that to toot our own horns here at VOG Network, but I think there's a lot of people out there that are creating an event out of this, like a watching event, you know, similar to, you know, an E3 press conference or some other, you know, type of big event watching. And doing it live is very important, because if you're not watching it live, you're going to get it all spoiled for you on Twitter and the news later. So I think it has become kind of event watching in that regard. And I think even, you know, when we look at next year and, you know, hopefully by December, some sense of normalcy returning, that you're still going to see that this does very well. So I know I'll still be watching, and we'll probably still do another live react like we did last time. It was fun. Yeah. All right. For our last story tonight, you knew I had to talk about this at some point, because this was one of those, maybe I would have chosen my words differently, Doug. Let's talk about this. So this was an interview. Yes. I don't know why I saved this one for last night. I feel like sometimes in the B block, we don't really have like great big things to comment on. So I was like, let's save this one for last. So, Doug, let's talk about what you said this week. And who I'm referring to is the Nintendo of America president, Doug Bowser. You'll never be Reggie Fils-Aimé. You'll never. You're a CEO.
No one will have the Reggie jawline.
You're a CEO who can't drive. All right, look, Doug, I'm just being an asshole. Like, Doug Bowser is fine. But this particular quote in this particular interview and this particular answer to this particular question ain't it. So what am I talking about? So he did an interview with Polygon, which is a whole nother thing I could talk about, but I'm not going to tonight. Mm-hmm. He did. I'm going to just start calling him Porygon, like the like the really crappy looking Pokemon. So Bowser did an interview with Porygon, and he was talking about special releases like Super Mario 3D All-Stars. And basically the question that came up was, you know, why are you doing this? Why are you end dating? It seems like you guys really like March 31st. You're not going to let people buy Mario 3D All-Stars after that fact. And, you know, Super Mario 35, you know. So how does Mr. Bowser respond to this? I think I use a simple word: celebration. It's just... This is a celebration of Mario's 35th anniversary, and we wanted to celebrate in unique and different ways. And we've done that through games like Super Mario 3D All-Stars, or we will be doing that through future releases like Super Mario 3D World and Bowser's Fury. That wasn't the question, Doug. That wasn't an opportunity to sell more copies of Super Mario 3D World, Doug. It's not about celebration, Doug. It's about, why are you stopping to sell these games on March 31st? So, there are various ways that we're celebrating Mario's 35th. And with some of these titles, we felt it was an opportunity to release them for a limited period of time. They've done very, very well. In other words, you stupids bought it. Roll credits, because that's what it boils down to. The celebration is we made a lot of fucking money. That's the celebration.
We found when we artificially create shortages that it drives up sales. And so now we're moving that to digital products, is what he meant to say.
Shall I continue with a quote? Oh, yes, I will. Super Mario 3D All-Stars has sold over 2.6 million units in the U.S. alone. And so clearly consumers have been able to jump in and enjoy that. And it's not strategy that we're going to be using widely. Notice how he says they might use it again, though. But it's one we thought was very unique for the actual anniversary. Yes, Doug, I would call it unique. That's a good word.
Oh, Doug. I'm just going to like start using Doug like Katya uses Barbara.
I don't know why I've decided to just call him Doug, but that is where I'm at. That is the reaction I had to this whole thing.
Okay. I propose from here out that anytime someone in the video game industry says something stupid, they're Doug, like a Karen. Sure, Doug.
You know what? An amazing 90s Nickelodeon cartoon you are not.
No, you are not Quail Man.
Look, here's the thing. And again, I know I sound like I'm just dumping on him based on this one bad quote. But this is the shit that really annoys us about Nintendo is... It's a celebration. No, it's not. You did this to sell more copies of the game. And in this interview, you are basically saying it worked. You bought it, suckers. But he can't really say that because Doug is the president of Nintendo. And so Doug cannot just say, well, we did this so we would sell as much as possible this fiscal year with our kind of weaker than usual holiday lineup. Because... That's not an answer Doug can give.
Doug.
Let's see what our commenters have to say over at twitch.tv/. You okay over there?
Yeah, I just keep knocking into my thing and I'm showing my gym teacher, Dean Winchester.
Okay, comments
to
chat.
To cleanse the palate.
Phoenix7726 says, well, Doug is no Reggie. Mm-hmm. Questbuster says it's a celebration of sales numbers. Sia Tabiri says, now I have Patty, you're the mayonnaise for me, stuck in my head. You're welcome. And for the record, that's the only kind of mayonnaise I tolerate is mayonnaise named Patty.
I like mayonnaise on a patty.
And there's this J100 Matt says, this isn't funny, Doug. And S200 Matt says, you get no points and may God have mercy on your soul, Doug.
I'm just going to stick with okay,
Doug. I don't
Doug.
Know why that's now a thing, but it's a thing. In my head, it was a thing. It was a thing I heard. All right. Thanks for letting us know, Doug. All right. Anyhow, let's get to the listener roundtable. If you want to say, okay, Rob, I have a question for you, or Jamie, or Matt, what's your question? You can ask that now in our chat room. It's the listener roundtable we have via chat and emails. Every week we invite you guys to email us, participate@orangeloungeradio.com. If you'd like to send us an email letting us know your thoughts for the week. I don't know if we had anything tonight, but I will ask the queen of the mailbag, Dark Sakura, what she found.
Oh, two emails. And one of them is from me.
Oh, how nice.
Yep. Hey, Jamie, just a follow-up email from last week. See, from me. I finally started Animal Crossing, and I gotta say I'm pretty hooked. For some reason, I am having an issue where the holiday ornaments won't spawn in my trees, so I can't craft any holiday stuff. I've tried to time travel and try to fix it, but nothing. Please don't time travel. It seems like every video I find, people who already have Isabelle unlocked, and I don't have her yet. I guess she is the one who makes the holiday announcements. True. Any ideas? I hope to visit your island soon and check it out. And happy holidays, everyone. This is from Frodo Swaggins. The thing is that you're not going to be able to do it yet in your own village. You get the recipes after you have the town center and get more of the DIYs and stuff. So you do need Isabelle. However, I would be more than happy to make you the things that I can if you want to. I think I got your friend code. Message me on Twitter, because that's really where I spend most of my social online time. It's at Dark Sakura, Sakura. We'll work out a time for you to come over and shake my trees, get my ornaments.
That's very nice of you to offer. But yeah, I was going to say, that's what my gut was saying too, even though I haven't played Animal Crossing in a few months. I've abandoned my poor villagers.
You probably got roaches in your house.
Probably. It's probably the whole, like, it takes 10 days or is it 14 to really get your town up and running. And that's probably the issue, is that that time gating in the beginning is probably stopping all the events from unlocking. Unfortunately, it's just not a great time to start, unfortunately. But you have a great answer there, is that if you can't do it in your town, you go to someone else's town.
You get to do a full cycle of the year, though. The thing is that you're still not going to be able to get those DIYs unless someone gives them to you. And I think you're only getting one per. So if I happen to somehow get any, because I make Dan give me all the ones that he finds, because I haven't been able to find any myself, let me know. I will save what I can for you. Catch snowflakes in the meantime, if you can catch snowflakes in your early village. And I'll make you like a snowflake door ornament, or a few things that I can with the, you know, like a ski wall or something, or an iceberg floor, something like that. I'm still wanting more of the holiday decor. I mean, even though it's like not my fucking holiday and I'm kind of sick of it already. Not saying that other people don't enjoy it. I just don't like the Jesus stuff. But I like trees and I like lights and I like all of that. So if anyone also gets those recipes,
do you do what some of my friends do and call them a Hanukkah bush? Because I always thought that was funny.
No, I do not. Because that's honestly the stupidest thing I've ever heard of.
I had a friend who did that. I thought it was funny.
Well, the thing is that, and I actually kind of got into it on my Facebook with somebody about that big house that was lit up for Hanukkah. Is that it's kind of like Hanukkah is not a big holiday. It's like pretty tiny, and on top of that, it's like it's kind of not the best thing to try to turn a holiday that has nothing in common with, you know, Christmas or all the shit that goes with Christmas into something that it's not.
I get it. This only happened because of kids, right? They didn't want kids to feel left out during this during this part of the year, so they kind of...
And non-practicing Jews.
Yeah, I get it.
But the other thing, too, is that, like, there's this whole commandment about assimilation and blah, 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 blah. Because, I mean, technically, if you're looking at Christmas, it's a pagan holiday that was co-opted by early Christians. So, just saying, you know? But at the same time, Hanukkah is, I think, the only celebrated holiday that is not at all in Torah. It came from the Book of the Maccabees, and it's more biblical apocrypha instead of actual Torah. And there's your Judaism lesson of the season.
Thank you. All right.
But I like it because I can set shit on fire and eat potatoes.
Who knew that an Animal Crossing email would set that only here on Orange Lounge Radio? Next email.
All right. But yeah, Frodo Swaggins just messaged me on Twitter. Anyway, the only other email that we got is, "Dear OLR, I hope you are all well and managing to stay in chipper spirits, even if we may not be able to spend the holidays with company we'd want to this year. Personally, this year has been a good time to escape to video games. I found myself lately not wanting to leave a game behind right after beating it, which brings me to my question. Are there any games you found yourself so invested in you made it a point to 100% complete them? In the last couple of days, I got the Platinum Trophy for God of War, my second Platinum, as my first was Nier Automata. This game was an interesting case because when I started it, I was very half interested. I thought it would be a slog to get through it, and then the story started to really draw me in once some new characters were introduced and the world took on a scale I had previously underestimated. I felt the need to explore all of it, taking on some challenging bosses in the process that were incredibly thrilling to fight." I will go ahead and pause at that point in the email and say I was like that with Mass Effect, and then I started doing boundary breaks and trying to see actually how the game was put together. But I never bothered for platinums on anything.
I usually, like, you know, I jump from one game to another. I've talked about that a lot on this show. It's not often that I get in that mode where I'm like, I will do everything I possibly can in this game. Oddly enough, the MMOs kind of end up working that way for me, even though I'll never reach the end. It's kind of one of those that's maybe why I don't have all the platinum trophies to show for it, is because oftentimes it's the MMOs. But I remember one distinctly was Diablo 3. When that came out.
That was your jam for a while.
Oh my God. Like, I don't know what happened. I was just like, I will get a platinum in this fucking game. I will get that trophy. And I did. And then they decided to release more trophies. So it's funny. Even though I have the platinum trophy in Diablo 3, I do not have all the trophies because I never bought the Necromancer expansion on PlayStation. So it's kind of one of those interesting little, ooh, I got something that I really shouldn't have because I don't have every trophy. But I did at the time.
Kick for a little while where I was trying to get different weird achievements in WoW. Remember when I was trying to get like the book achievements and getting like different like masking potions or whatever to make it into, you know, or sneaking in through the sewers to get to why can't I think the Undercity?
Yeah, that's a great example, though. Achievements in the MMOs. I do hunt that stuff because, you know, in WoW, you would get titles or maybe little pets for certain ones. And it's the same thing in Final Fantasy. Like, there's a lot of minions
Jenkins
and mounts.
Is your title.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I hunt that stuff in MMOs all the time. So,
yeah, I just like the really fun, crazy ones. But the challenging one for me was getting all of the, on an Alliance character, getting the reading material in Undercity.
Loki, what about you? Is there anything where you sat down and you said, I will fully complete this game?
I think maybe like a lot of the Lego games, I'll end up getting everything in. I don't know if I've done that for Saints Row, though. I think there's been some tedious missions that I haven't been able to do. And then there's also some stuff, I think, where you have to play the game fully co-op, which I haven't done.
Yeah.
And also, in some games like Saints Row 2, it's impossible because a lot of it had achievements that had to do with online play, which doesn't exist anymore. So, I think it's just mainly like the Lego games and stuff.
All right. Moving on with the email then.
Actually, though, I did have another one that I'm kind of doing it in, and that is Animal Crossing. Not necessarily their achievements, but there are a lot of... I'm trying to finish like some of the Nook Mile stuff. For the Nook points.
Uh-huh.
So, like, the redecorating my house a certain number of times, catching certain fish, and I'm trying to fill out my inventory. So I want to have as complete of a catalog as I can and try to get all the fish and all of the... I already have, like, a full museum for my my fossils. But I want all the artwork. So it's more like a personal one for me, but I also get my Nook achievements with it. So my Nook
Great. Miles. Great example, because Animal Crossing and Nintendo in general doesn't have platinum trophies or achievements, but they're it has its own kind of system built into the game. So you're kind of working on that. Yeah.
I kind of don't really give a shit about it, like, on a system level, if that makes sense. Like, I don't really care about any character or personal achievement, because honestly, my life is worth more than what a video game tells me it is.
Uh-huh.
So, but for me, this is just something fun that I do to add a little bit more replayability to the game. So to continue on with the email, this year also has had me return to older games to 100% them. I did things like finally getting all 100 goal Skulltulas in Ocarina of Time, as well as getting the 120 stars in both Super Mario 64 and Super Mario Galaxy. Anyway, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. Season's greetings and many game beatings, Garth Wolf. I fucking love that. I'm stealing that dude.
Many game beatings. Love that.
I am actually putting that on my freaking Twitter. That is like the coolest thing that I've seen all day.
All right, thanks for the email.
Yeah, good thanks times. Garth.
Participate at orangeloungeradio.com if you want to send us an email for the future here on the show. Let me get to chat. I thought I saw a question way back. We started talking about the here we go. No one special with a roundtable question for us tonight. With all the miscellaneous storefronts having started their holiday sales or about to start them, are any of you planning on getting that one game that you've been eyeing for a while now? If you are, what game? Oh, I know no one special loves to talk about sales and discounts. Good question, though. Is there something I've been holding out for on a particular sale? I've had, this may shock you, but there's like just a lot of weird shit has been, 2020 has like warped my mind. So like all of a sudden I'm super into the Pokemon mainline games. When was that going to happen? Right. But the other thing I've had my eye on, I kind of really want to get Mortal Kombat 11. So I'm waiting for like the rights, like, but I want the all in one and done package, like all the characters, all the story. I want one fucking game with it all, which I think is just Mortal Kombat 11 Ultimate, if I'm not mistaken. So I'm kind of waiting that to hit the sweet spot, and then I'll probably pick it up and look away when the fatalities happen. But I mean, as a fighter game, those games are really solid fighters. And I'll wait for an Injustice, which will be more up my alley. So that's my answer to that. Anything you guys are holding out on a good sale for?
Some stuff I want is actually on sale right now on Steam. It's hard for me to sit down and play anything on my computer with some of the back problems I've been having lately.
Mm-hmm.
But like Wadham just got its release, and I really wanted to play that.
Oh, yeah.
And Death Stranding is on sale. Hold on, I'm actually looking at my wish list right now. Because I got, Detroit Become Human actually, I think, was on sale briefly, but yeah, Wadham is on and it's on sale for like $10.
Nice.
Purchased.
Epic Store was giving out those $10 gift cards or $10 discounts or whatever. And basically, if you downloaded City Skylines, which was free, you got $10. So I don't know. I was looking at the Harmonix game that you just released, but
oh yeah, Fuser, yeah. I've been looking at that too.
It's still $49, yeah. And like I looked at all the DLC and stuff, where I'm like, that's so expensive. So
oh my god,
I may
oh my
wait
god.
On that.
So you know how I said I really wanted to do a make a visual novel.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Visual Novel Maker is like for the whole thing is like $70.
Oh, is it on sale?
75% off.
Ooh, you better get on that.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm gonna go broke. So who knows, maybe my book will end up being a visual novel if somebody wants to help me with the artwork.
Nice. Ooh, I should look in some of that game making software, even though we all know I don't have the attention span to do it. I'm always kind of looking at that stuff on Steam. I'm sure a lot of it's going on deep discount here. And Alan probably has.
I would just wait for like Humble Bundles, man. They've got so many things that they offer on there, like discounts for different like game making things and like tools. In fact, that's where I was going right now. I was trying to see and like, do I have that already? Because I very well may have that already.
I'm going to ask Alan real quick because he's a big PC gamer. I won't make him come on cam because he's not dressed for it, but he just gave me this look that was really funny. Is there any – yes, I am right. Is there any Steam sale, any Steam game that you're looking forward to? Since, you know, you're playing Skyrim again right now. That's, you know, games like, what, 10 years old at this point. Is there anything you've kind of been waiting for the right sale on a game before you finally jump into it? He's thinking. Witcher 3, maybe, he's suggesting. Yeah, I mean, you know, now that CD Projekt Red's finally moved on, they got a whole other problem. I think it's safe to say nothing further will be done on Witcher 3, so there's that. Okay, yeah.
There's actually some pretty interesting sales, like Moonlighter, Vigil, Resident Evil Resistance, Oxygen Not Included. Those all seem to be on sale.
Hmm. All right, neat. All right.
Stuff.
Well, if that's it, then I think we're getting down to last minute stories. I don't know if we have any of those before we wrap it all up. Dark Soccer or Loki? Yeah?
Yeah. No.
Yeah. So let's talk back about Cyberpunk again.
Oh,
so
boy.
Apparently Cyberpunk has a problem. They have a dildo problem. A distracting number of dildos are apparently appearing in the game as a
problem or feature.
Both. A little column A, a little column B.
Don't want to be surrounded by dicks all the time. I mean, seriously.
So apparently they are going to be fine tuning that to see if they can tone it down a bit. But yeah, it is. It's something. Well, in certain districts in the game, they have like a red light district that, you know, that stuff's everywhere. But yeah, it's silly.
All right. Anything else besides dildo updates?
That's it.
All right. Oh, well, that's a good note to end on. All right. Let's wrap it up then. Final thoughts and good night time. So thank you guys, of course, as always, for listening to the show, downloading our show or listening live, however you consume the show. Thank you so much for doing that. And please help us spread the word. We are the show where every gamer has a voice, but we need the voices out there to come join us on the show. So help us spread the word. Tell a friend or two about the show. Leave us a nice review wherever it is you found the show, and really appreciate that. And of course, since we don't have another show until I think the 27th will be the next show, have a good holiday, whether it already passed or whether it's upcoming. I hope everybody's having a good holiday, and I know everybody's kind of starting their vacations too. Please be safe. Just because there is a vaccine, that doesn't mean the pandemic is over.
They're giving it to all the rich people.
Yes, that's true. They're giving it to all the rich
people
first.
Which probably ain't you.
So please stay safe. I'm not doing anything for the holidays this year. We canceled all our plans. I don't want to do anything. So, I'll be catching up on some games. Maybe try to pour some of that energy into creative stuff. Maybe try to make some more, you know, videos on demand and things like that. We'll see. So just be safe, guys. Anyway, let's get everybody's actual final thoughts here. I guess I pretty much gave mine, but I will elaborate and say, oh, this holiday would be a great time to start a marathon game of Civilization. I think maybe that's something I'll do because I actually have the time to do it. Loki, your final thought tonight.
Just going to be working more on my game. So I'm keep on working on that.
Great. And last but not least, Darkstalker, your final thought.
I'm tempted to give you a Duolingo subscription for Japanese. I don't know. Actually, I do have one. Be kind to people. Don't assume that just because someone looks like they're able-bodied that they're not dealing with some difficulty or a disability or something really hard in their life. Just be kind. That's all. Be kind. Mm-hmm. Be kind to other people. Be kind to yourself.
All right. Or as my mom would say, can't you be fucking nice? It's Christmas.
No. There's a difference between being nice
I know.
And being kind.
No, I gotcha.
Being kind also means fucking fight.
I couldn't help but think of that in the spirit of the holiday, what my mom used to say. All right.
Your mom was cool.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, that's it. We're going to have a great night, great week. We'll see you next time. Bye, everyone. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.